Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports in Depth of the show, Sunday. And Sunday, you know, opening with John Coltrane's Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Gratitude, reverence, homage to you, we come and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day and night. And may all we do be right in your sight. We ask you, Lord, not to give us so much what we want, but what we need. And we need thee every hour. Bless our families, dear Lord, here in America. My family in Brazil. Bless the Panos family, for they are my family here too, and their relatives. More importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God, for you're God all by yourself. And although you may not be everybody's God, but you are the one only true God, dear Lord. And we thank you, dear Lord, for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come all unmerited, so many unseen. We just take this time out. As that man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. The lady once said, you're God all by yourself. So, the Lord, we come and thank you, Lord. And we ask these blessings and all the blessings, Lord, in the name of your darling Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the bright and morning star, the Rose of Sharon, Jesus the Christ. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil on the Blake. We're another Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Devil, the show. Barclay Center opened up the other day. We'll be talking about that again. Yankees came back and won a game yesterday. The Orioles looking for a sweep, but they got what they want. They got cut the lead. And Yankees, two more games in the loss column. Yankees kind of wish they were done with the Mets. The Mets are hot, rocking and rolling. As they swept Miami, and Dickey is his 17th win. We got the whole month of September, so he's got a great shot at winning 20 games, and more importantly, it seems like a chance at winning the MVP. And J-E-T-S Jets, G-I-A-N-T-S Giants. Giants opened up this Wednesday against the Cowboys, America's team. How about them Cowboys? And then the Jets come back and play the Bills. It's the original game too. You know, looking at that, Dusty, that's you look at the way things are now. Cowboys and Giants are original NFL teams, and the Jets and the Bills are two original NFL teams, and so both teams will be open the season against original, say, stalwarts of their particular league. Again, you know, me and you were both so thrilled by the Barclays Center opening up.
Yep. Absolutely. Doc? Hello? Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dusty, talk. I mean, anytime you've taken over the show, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, don't. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, no. We're in agreement. You and I are in a Brooklyn honeymoon.
Hey, love fest.
Love fest. Ah, that's the word. That's the phrase. Love fest. That Brooklyn's coming back to. I mean, Brooklyn. Bucks is coming back to the abandoned borough, Brooklyn, and it's going to be the highlight of the season, the year, because of the fact that we talk about boxing, but they brought the Nets from Jersey to become the home team of Brooklyn. The Nets are going to be the home team of Brooklyn, so whenever you say Nets, you got to say Brooklyn Nets. And, of course, thanks to Oscar and his foresight and his business diligence, he's going to give us quality fights every 2 months and started with October 20th of this year. Of this year. And then, although he was cat and mouse, and he wouldn't tell me what's going to happen in December because it's every 2 months, he says, oh, at this time, I want to just really concentrate on this card, which is a fabulous card. And then we'll worry about the December card. But still, at all, I mean, if you're a promoter, you know that you're already preparing, making the phone calls and getting your ducks in place, you know, for the next show, because of the fact that this is something that we expect.
Now, Dustin, are you talking about Oscar wouldn't reveal to you? What you saying?
I mean, you're sitting there.
You did a half an hour conversation, Dusty. You and Consuela and Enrique, you'll know fully. Don't sit here and try to tell the Sports and Deaf Nation that you don't know. You talked a half an hour with the man in Spanish, and you went around the back with him. And come, you and Consuela and Enrique, if you don't want us to know, it's no problem. But don't sit here and tell us. You know what I mean? Hold on. You know what? Oh, let's get to it. Mel Smith Jr. is here. Lady A is back. C-Wing should be here. Mel Smith, can you introduce the Sports and Deaf Nation to Sports and Deaf?
I need a good laugh, Doc. Thanks.
Well, yes, of course, good doctor. The Sports and Deaf Nation is here. The Sports and Deaf panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that's Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thanks, Rooney. Boy, you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, he does this right off the top of his head, but it sounds like he's got a tape there. But don't nobody move. Got a young lady who wants to say a little something. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network. The show, it is a Sunday show, sports rap. Barclays Boxing Center is open. Yankees and Mets kind of going in a different direction, but they're both sort of stuck in where they have been online. And we got some golf, some tennis, and some basketball. But, hey, hold on.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley Sports and Deaf on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Network Show. Hi, Rosie. I know she's out there, our number one listener from Volta Redonda in Brazil. It's about, I think it's about 20 minutes outside of Rio de Janeiro. I talked to my good man Sharif last night. We're planning to move. I'm finally going to get to Rio. Didn't get there in my travels yet. I've been to, I think, those cities in a little while I've been to. Also, everybody, take a look at that blog, Doc Stanley Sports. Hold on, gang. Here she is. Boy, the power of Skype. Hi, Melvin. Hi, Rosie. Everybody in the panel, say hi to Rosie in Brazil. Everybody.
Rosie, everybody.
Hi, Rosie.
And Lady A, say hi to Rosie.
Hey, Rosie, how you doing?
The first lady of sports, Lady A, and the first lady of listeners, Rosie in Brazil. She says hello, everybody. And everybody said hello to you. It's amazing. This is our number one listener. And Lady A, she said, hello, Lady A. Special greetings out to you because, you know, we haven't heard you for a while. So it's hello, everybody. Hello to Lady A. That's Skype's an amazing thing. DocStanleySports.com is the site for my Sports and Deaf Interfacts Entertainment Hall of Fame. Doc Stanley Sports and Deaf blog. Spot.com is my blogger. We've got the First Lady of Sports back with us after he's been around for a long while on assignment. We've got Justina, baby, Lost Mel Smith Jr. Harold Weston Jr. Harold?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is back. Harold! I knew it. I don't know why I say that because the big game starts. I know it's Harold. And right thing, and then it is. Harold! You know what I mean?
Hello, Lady A.
Oh, hi, Harold.
And with that, we're going to kick it up. Lady A, your reaction to the Barclays Center, a heck of a card. I'm looking at that card here. Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy, something that's been in 2 years in the making. But your reaction, World Championship Boxing, back in Brooklyn. Lady A, what's your take on this?
I think it's going to be great. I mean, you got all having something local. We were talking about the Aviator opening up and the type of effect it would have on boxing here locally. I mean, I think it's going to be great. You know, I mean, this is where boxing should be. I mean, it's been lacking the following here due to the fact that I think that everything's like either in Las Vegas or it's in Atlantic City. So this would be great to have something locally. You got all local guys, Paulie Malignaggi, you got Mike Tyson, you got a lot of guys that come from the local area that, you know, will be helpful for the sport as well. So I think it'd be great for boxing. Hello?
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 Hello? Well, I hear Harold and Lady A. Where's the rest of the crew?
I'm listening to Lady A. She just started.
Did you see that fight? Did you see that fight yesterday?
Bad situation about Brooklyn boxing.
you see that fight last night with that guy Gonzalez that couldn't even make weight?
This guy's a
first. Listen, the first dude I thought about was Harold. That's the first dude I thought about. Imagine somebody coming in like 9 pounds overweight, and you train, and the guy's coming in 9 pounds overweight.
He signed a 54-pound contract. He comes in 62. And then he gets a 12-round semifinal with only 15-0, 13 KOs, and the last two were decisions.
Hold on. The guy that came in last night, he's 15-0?
Yeah.
15-0, Jonathan Gonzalez.
But hold up, Dusty. $60,000 you have to give back to the guy. $60,000.
Harold, explain this to me. Who's training this guy?
I'm just going to go into this right now.
Go ahead, Dusty. How does this guy come in nine pounds overweight?
Well, this is what I'm trying to analytically create a debate here.
Don't lie for him because he's Latin, Dusty. Get to the point here now. Come on.
No. The Boxing Commission, again, checks in as weak need and laissez-faire. First of all, Juan Manuel Marquez, and I know I'm going a little long-winded. Juan Manuel Marquez says, if we are going to weigh in the day before, well, then the day of the fight, we should be no more than 5 pounds of the weight that we're defending. He's absolutely right. If the commission wants to do 10, but still, 5 pounds is the bottom line. This piece of crap comes in here, signs a 54-pound contract. He comes in at 162 and refuses.
Hold on a second. But originally,
hold a second. Now he was getting $120,000.
Right.
Duzingo, who was knocked out by Martinez, turns around and says, no, if the guy doesn't come down, I know they were holding out for money. If the guy doesn't come down, we're not fighting the fights off. So the guy turns around and says, okay, look, here, take the fine, $60,000. Gave away $60,000. So Dunzingo walked away. He had a $40,000 purse. He walked away with $100,000. Now, I have to echo Harold, and I don't want to step on his parade. Where are the trainers who are disciplining these guys and say, look, you have a 54-pound contract.
Wait.
We're going to train you, and you're going to come in at 54 pounds.
But wait, hold up. Did you hear?
Let me finish what I'm saying. And they turn around, and they let him fight at 54. Now, at 72 or 62, and you know something? For my money, he lost the fight. And they called it a freaking draw.
I wasn't impressed. But listen, my thing is this, Dusty. What got me was Roy Jones is sitting there making light of the situation and saying,
Roy Jones is a commentator. He owns.
Did you hear what he said? He said, oh, well, you know, these kids are, you know, they're young. He's like, and.
Well, that's a stupid cop-out because Adrian Broner did the same thing.
Yeah.
He lost his talent on the scales. He turned around and said, well, you know, I'm a young kid and I'm growing. I can't make that weight. That's nonsense. Where the hell are the damn trainers? They said, look, we got a pound contract. You know what it is? And Harold, maybe you will or will not agree with me, is the fact. I'm happy for them because these chumps are making decent money. Imagine giving this 15-year-old bum $120,000. And then he can give away $60,000 because he refuses to come down to knock off that jelly roll and come down to the contract.
Oh my God, he was so he was all pudgy.
Nothing. Yes, I'm glad in this modern day the kids are making money, because if you go back to my day, oh, my God. But these guys are making money, but don't they understand the value of money?
And they don't understand discipline, Dusty. They don't understand discipline. They have to have their sledgehammer around their neck like you know, between the neck.
Well, I know, but I'm a sledgehammer bandit. But the fact of the matter is that where's the discipline? Bam Bam Rios is fighting in 2 weeks. I wonder if he himself is going to come into weight. I mean, there's been a lot of nonsense.
And
instead of suspending these guys, lifting up their licenses until they protract their contracts and agree to the contracts, nothing's going to happen. It's going to happen all the time. It's going to happen all the time. And you know, Lampley, when another fight was almost postponed, he says, well, in deference to HBO, they have a lot of money tied up in these television rights. That's why the fight is allowed to go on, even though the champion is penalized for not coming up. I mean, come on. Ridiculous. Let's go back.
But back in Harris time, that wouldn't have happened.
What?
I said, back in Harris time, that would never have happened.
Well, that was going to never happen in my time. And you're right. Howell knows the days that back in Howell's day, those guys, Howell's day, Dusty's day, these
people
were
insult to the sport. It's
when
an insult to the sport.
When they signed a contract to come in at 54, they came in at 54. When they had a contract to come in at 47, they came in at 47.
But how much of a difference is it? And Dusty, I don't know if this is a question you can answer. And Harold, is that how much of a difference is it that they weigh in the night before as to weighing in the same day and fighting?
It's a lot of difference, lady. It's a lot of difference because they got enough time to hydrate. I mean, come on. If you look, let me tell you something. If you weigh in the day of the fight and you make the weight, obviously. You have your pasta dinner, because that's what we used to have, pasta dinner, relax, maybe at best 2 or 3 pounds the night of the fight.
Right.
But you got the whole freaking night. I don't know what the hell they eat, bricks, grease, I don't know. They come in 10, 12. Look at Chavez. He was a heavyweight fighting Rubio for the middleweight championship of the world.
Yeah.
Look at Andre Berto and Ortiz. They were 62 pounds. Fighting for in the welterweight division. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. It doesn't make sense. See, that's
but the
point.
I want to know if you or Lady
no
A, Howard, or Doc, I want to know if any
there's
of you
no
can ever recall so many cases of fighters not being able to make their contracted weight. I don't ever recall so many cases of fighters not being able to come in at the contracted weight before.
It's just...
Because there's no penalty. There's no punishment. There's no punishment at all.
The only punishment is in the pocket. That's all they got is the pocket. That's how they penalize them in the pocket.
They don't care because they're making so much more money.
Yep.
You see the point?
Yeah.
The value of money.
But you said this
is
large. Give up 60 large like it was a cheese sandwich or something. I mean, 60 large is a lot of money.
But they don't care. These guys are making that much and more. Okay? This is what I'm trying to make you understand. They're making that much more. I mean, hey, let me tell you something. A semifinal in Madison Square Garden in my day, 8-round semifinal in my day, was $1,500. Man, we fought for that shot because it's a high price. A 4-rounder, for God's sake, was $75, man. Okay?
Yeah, let me ask you something. Was that when you were paying 50 cents to take the bus?
No.
Oh, you're funny. No.
Hey, no. Hey, listen. Hey, listen. In those days, there wasn't no bus.
There wasn't no bus. You walked. A round trip was a dime.
Come on,
man. Everybody said it's shit. I'm telling you, Sports Up on the Blake, but never Rainbow Show, Channel Sports Never Show. Lady A is back here. What is just Harold, I want you to come in this because right away, when she told me that, two words came to my mind, sad and touchy.
I was about to say Harold Weston, two words.
Your thoughts, Harold.
Well, I just think that, you know, you're looking at a great sport that's getting ready to be demolished. In the next 10 years, 20 years, it's going to be gone. Oscar De La Hoya coming to Brooklyn don't mean nothing. For one particular reason, he's coming with the same show. He's coming for his fighters to win so they can get to the big money, and that's the bottom line. That's not boxing, okay? That's not New York boxing. My point is that you're going to still lose the crowd because you're not getting the people what they deserve. Competition. That's what boxing's all about. On this weight situation, there's nothing surprised me about this. But my point is that everything they have discovered and came about in boxing and changed a few things has all failed. Weighing guys in the day before has failed. Okay? The training, how they methods are doing, has failed. The fighters fighting bums all the time and moving a guy up to the world championship has failed. So basically, the only thing that has not failed and has grown in their favor is the money. And that's because the economy has grown. And the fact is that the sport and everything else has grown. But as you look at the ability and the fighters being better, has failed. And so when you've got so many failures in a situation, which, I can say, in our day, you got punished for it. Today, it's a reward, it seems to me.
Yep.
I mean, so basically, we're going here. We got a failed economy. We got a failed country that's going down the drain. And we got a generation that's completely destroyed mentally and going to be physically when they get older and realize what they've done and what they're doing is nothing. And they're not as good as they think they are. And that's the reason why you're looking at a situation that's going to be a failed a generation that is never, ever going to ever be able to regroup themselves. Because you know why? Because the guys that don't know is going to be the one that's going to be on top. I'm not going to be here. Dusty ain't going to be here. Y'all ain't going to be here. Next 20, 30 years, we ain't going to be here. But and all the guys that really know something's going to be gone. And what you got? You got Humpty Dumpty doing the business like we got now. You got, and I'm going to say it, you got your Delahoyes, you got your Luther Bellas, you got your Don Kings, and you got your Aram. That whole group don't know nothing about boxing, and all they did make the sport fail and put money in their pockets, and that's what all it did. And I just feel sorry for the kids because they can't fight. They cannot fight. And to walk on the street and talk about, and you got 20 world champions walking around in one weight division talking about I'm the champ? Give me a break.
Exactly.
And let me tell you what they should do. If they really want to stop these guys from being overweight, take half of their purses from them. Any fighter that comes in overweight, take half of their purse.
I like it, Harold. Yep. I like
it. And on top of that, the promoter that has them and the promoter has them, charge him $100,000 for the fighter being overweight.
I like it, Harold.
And the trainers. And the
prices are going to be there. When they get half of the money, of the player, believe me, it'll be change from that point.
Exactly.
How can you be overweight the day before the fight? And we was on weight the day of the fight at 11 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the
11
morning.
11 o'clock at the commission's office, you had to be there properly to weigh in. And that's
basically
you train a guy for six weeks,
and you ain't weighing him, you're going to weigh him today. And bring him into the weigh-in at 9 pounds over? I mean, that's embarrassing being a trainer. I will find him off the bat.
The commission should say, you're no longer a trainer. I mean, how you bring a guy in here? But it's not so much too. I mean, a lot has to do with that classic line by Dusty, the weak knee commissions, but it also has to do with maybe two things: the fighters ain't listening. The trainers are not being aggressive
enough. The fighters and trainers, let me just say this, Mel. Mel, when you know you're going to get half of your money taken, believe me, you got a good ear. You got a good ear.
You stop being deaf. And he's absolutely right. What's the sense of going to a training camp? How much did the training camp cost you, Harold, in your day? I mean, I was a tag along with Kid Gavilan, so I don't know the expenses. But they do rent out.
Well, I mean, basically, what it was is that they gave it to him free because they gave the guys, the people who come up. Well, we was up at the Concord. That's where we was at.
Oh, I see.
So basically,
you guys got it free.
So it was free for the people to watch them work out, and they had to pay, you know, the tips and things like that, and certain rooms. So basically, Gil had a good working relationship with the people up in the Concord Hotel. because of the bar.
Because
and
I remember Sugar.
And Grossner's, you know, Grossner's Hotel up there, too, and everything.
Right.
So they had a,
I mean,
they had a
Sugar
good
Ray
thing
Robinson's
going on there.
Favorite place was Pompton Lakes. That's where he always went. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah, Sugar Ray
was
there.
But what I'm saying is that why go to camp? Why say, oh, I've had 8-10 weeks of hard training and you're 10 pounds overweight?
I'm just saying, no matter how you're looking at it, you're weighing in the day before, okay? I can tell you right now, if you really know how to be a trainer, a guy can lose 5 pounds, 6 pounds in one day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One day
exactly.
In the boxing world.
That's true. I've done it.
I mean, that is no big, that ain't no big problem.
No.
But that shows you the lack of knowledge these guys got in this sport.
Exactly.
Of that happening. And then they're going to have all kinds of excuses why the guy's overweight and everything. And my point is, like I always said, if you can't make the weight, why are you signing a contract if you can't make the weight?
Yeah.
Because, Harold, I think maybe you and I will disagree, but I have to say it. Boxing contracts, and this is what my experience is, have less value than toilet tissue. You sign up, I'm telling you, and this is true line experience. You put a name, a dude's name on a fight card, all of a sudden it's scratched out. It means nothing. It's altered, it's changed, and that's the way these things happen, man. So
that's what I'm saying. The whole thing about these contracts is the fact that these guys get punished for their actions.
Yeah, everybody has to be held accountable.
Right.
You can't turn around and say, well, you know, I trained him, but evidently he didn't do what he's supposed to do. And the fighter can't say, well, he's not a good trainer. Howell says, okay, here's the deal. The guy comes in, overweight, promoter, you're fine. Fighter, you're fine. Trainer, you're fine. Next.
Yeah.
And the
guy
always
losing sight of him. Let me say this.
And then if the fighter gets the attitude and talk about, well, I'm not going to fight him, we say, you're right. You know what? We're going to suspend you for the next 3 years.
Wow.
I mean, you guys got to be harsh about it. Because what you're doing is nothing that you don't supposed to do. You're supposed to be on weight, okay?
Right.
You're supposed to make this thing happen.
No question. Don't sign
a contract if you can't make it, okay? My point is that the harsher the thing, the situation is, believe me, the better response that these kids get. And let me give you a good point, because everybody's just losing thought on it. Is the fact that these kids can get in the street, okay? And I just say, if you don't go over there and punch that guy in the mouth, I'm going to kill you. They go over there and punch that guy in the mouth. Okay? Because they understand what's going on because it's in the street. And when you bring something harsh to somebody,
the consequences that comes about, and what Harold's saying, we have to implement repercussion and consequences. But Harold, Doc,
can I just say something? A lot of it,
hey, Doc,
I understand what you guys
into,
are saying, but
Hold
a lot
on,
of it is the commission. A lot of it is the commission.
Well, yeah, but
is,
you know what? Still, it's what Harold said. Mike, we're talking about the fighter that came in 9 pounds overweight. Mike is joining us, and he was with us
on
Tuesday.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Part of the gang.
Right.
Mike again. Went to the show. No, yeah, but see, Harold said something 30 years ago. John Condon said something 30 years ago. And the frustration from a negative standpoint of view is evident. And last night was a blatant admission to that. And Condon and Harold, and I was over at the Garden, my second home, and John Condon had just came in, and he said, you know, there's a guy over there throwing a jab up in the air. He said, these guys don't know what they're doing. And Harold came in about 20 minutes later and said, man, I was over there, man, these trainers know what they're doing. And it's what both of those guys said, Harold Weston and John Condon, two of the geniuses of the game. You know, guys have fighters. And now, Mike, no, you're coming in now. Okay, you've been here. The thing we're talking about, guy comes in last night, 9 pounds overweight.
Embarrassing.
How did
that
happen?
Embarrassing.
I mean,
he looks sad doing it. He looks sad doing it, too. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? The draw is a draw. It's just ridiculous, dude. This guy... Come on, how slow did this guy actually look last night? And you got this guy comes in. I mean, I would hate to be one to talk bad about a fighter, but let's be ridiculous. This guy, it was horrendous on an athlete, the way this man came in and out of shape.
Yeah. And, And the thing is that you got to understand, too, that if you go to training camp, that's another thing, too. If you go to training camp, you sign a weight contract. Well, it is the trainer's responsibility to check on the man's weight day by day.
Yeah, but how are you going to say, Dusty, this, how are you going to you going to proclaim this guy to be this? You're claiming this guy to be a prospect at 15 and 0. Oh, he's high. With what substance are you going to throw this guy in there and say, oh, well, he's a prospect? How is he a prospect? This guy couldn't even come in a right weight.
Yeah, but that's not even the point, A. The point A is like how I was saying earlier.
Hold on. Okay.
This guy's supposed to be. He's a prospect because he's 15-0 and he has a good Puerto Rican promoter that sells the product. But the product is flawed because the trainers are flawed. Because
let me
the
say
trainers,
this, Doc.
When you're in training camp.
Hold on.
Let me say this, Doc.
When you're in training camp, when you're in training camp, you measure. It behooves you as a trainer to stay on this guy and remind him, watch out for what the hell is he eating in camp?
Dusty, you're on the net. Dusty, keep going. Preach, Dusty.
Hold on. Back up. There's two thoughts here. Mooney, go ahead, kick yours in for a minute.
I'll be brief, Doc. I agree with what Hal said earlier. If you're my guy, you're my charge, man, and you come in 9 pounds overweight, as far as I'm concerned, not only are you an embarrassment to you, you're an embarrassment to me, and you're an embarrassment to the sport. You come in 9 pounds over? That's ridiculous.
And the best excuse he came up with, is, oh, I was traveling to different places, training camp. Really, guys? Come on, stop. Guy, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing here, though, here's the thing. How, you know, the guy's 15-0. I mean, two thoughts here. Is he that good? Has the guy he been fighting that bad?
No, he bought paraplegics from Puerto Rico. That's what he did.
How do they do that? Why is it that they come in with records like this? I want to know, again, Doc, like you said, who did this guy fight?
A bunch of out-of-work cab drivers, obviously.
19-year-old.
Check his record out of Wikipedia. You'll find who were the loonies that he fought. The camera backs and
how does this guy make HBO? Yeah. How does this guy make HBO is the
question.
Are we
that? Because the promoters and the businesses.
The point you bring, I remember Harold Weston about 2 years ago told us right here, Doc Stanley Sports Dev on the Blake Rainbow Show, Channel Sports Dev, the show, and we've also said, you know, said so many breaking things came in before everybody else. We told you about Bin Laden, which is a harder thing. And Harold said, hey, you know what? Blankety Blank is soon going to be leaving HBO because of boom, 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 boom. And sure enough, it happened. This is how these things happen. They got their contacts, they got their guys, and they get their guys in there. And this is one of the reasons why Harold Weston was respected, revered, disliked, and yet had the respect because I'll never forget Harold Weston long as I live. Walked into the office and Harold said, I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow, can he fight? But there was a certain decorum, there was a certain set of rules that Harold Madison Square Garden had that you had to follow. And other places just don't do it. I mean, last night was just a sad and touching reminder. These are the sort of things that you hope with boxing coming to Brooklyn that we can kind of get the game back on the track. Because if not, you know, I think in a lot of ways, and we're moving around the panel starting
now,
with Lady A first.
Stop wasting your time. De La Hoya is not going to do nothing no more than what he's been doing this whole period of the last 15 years. All he's going to do is companies going to just build their fighters off of that venue that they're having in Brooklyn. The sport is going to still go backwards just like it is, and the fighters are still going to be bad to watch because they're going to have bums fighting guys that can fight a little bit. Simple as that. So don't even try to
what we have
that,
now
okay?
Is Golden Boy. The Barclays Center is basically going to be Golden Boy East Coast.
Yes. That's all it's going to be. And it ain't not going to change because they got money invested in fighters that they haven't signed up, and they're going to make sure they win. So that's all it's going to be.
Do you think that they're going to make any sort of an imprint here, though, or what?
No. They're not gonna do nothing. I mean, they're gonna give you the lips about, yeah, this is a great fight. This is a, I can tell you right now that the fight is garbage right off the bat. And I don't even.
But
know
what do we
fight.
Do though? Like, but here's the thing. One thing that I don't understand.
He's
investing a lot of money.
Yeah, you gotta have somebody that's neutral.
So if he's investing
matches.
This much money, why would it be a flop if he's gonna invest this much money? You don't think he knows this is a
business? Because they're investing in certain fighters that they know that's gonna make it to the top, and then they can get the so-called pay-per-view fight and make their money back. And that's how
do they have an eye for entertainment in the Bronx that our own guys are letting go? Though is the question.
They're letting guys. I don't care where the guys come. Delahoy is just worried about the guys that signed up. Whatever the red corner, blue corner.
It's,
my point is, if Delahoy's got the red corner, all those guys are gonna win.
All right, but the question that I have is, if Oscar De La Hoya,
but another thing that I want to piggyback on, Howard, you said, these guys are 10 different titles in one weight division, and he's absolutely right because the Russian guy from Uzbekistan, and I never
what about
saw
that guy
him before.
I
never saw him last night. The man's undefeated. He has a pretty good workout, 23 fights, 20 knockouts. But he is the recognized WBA and IBO middleweight champion of the world. When the hell did this guy win these two titles?
He
never,
I didn't even know
this was his debut in the United
champion.
States. So what did they do? They mailed him those titles because he never came here until Saturday. You know, and then I'm saying...
He said they mailed him two titles. That's
hysterical. Is Chavez fighting for now? Then I realize Chavez is defending the WBC. So, I mean, and where do they get all these titles from? And this guy never came to the United States.
No,
been the big thing now. That was what happened when the Garden, and once again, excuse me, when Harold Weston left the Garden. You no longer had to come to New York anymore. You no longer had to come through America anymore. You no longer. I mean, the big drawback, the thing that hurt Ali, was when the New York Boxing Commission stripped him because everybody else followed suit. This was the most revered, the most respected, the most powerful boxing commission in all the world. But now, you don't have that anymore. So now. Anybody – look at the Klitschko's. When was the last time you seen Klitschko's here in the United States? They're the heavyweight champion of the world, and you don't even know what they're doing. But every time they fight, they're like fighting in their living room. They're fighting in their living room.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is going back to what we've said a long time. When the Garden went down, and once again, it's not because I know the man, not because I love the man, but when Harold Weston walked out of Madison Square Garden, he took the last vestige of credibility – and respect that New York had in boxing. Now, what helped us for a while is that King and Trump got together and they did some things down in AC. But when we lost that, East Coast was finished.
So then, what is the answer? I mean, we criticize every week. We talk about what's wrong.
The thing is, that, you know what? I think what we're saying here is that boxing, for all intents and purposes, is dying. Because nobody's going to do what has to be done.
Let me tell you what's really happening. You've got the guys out there who's signing fighters up. They're not letting them fight anybody. And the guys that are not able to get through those doors or get fights on a regular basis is being shut out, okay?
Yeah,
and that's
done.
What's going on. The ones that's kissing the butts is the ones that's getting the fight. The ones that's not kissing butts is the ones that's not getting the action and getting the situation handled. And that's where it is. With my situation, like when I was there, as you knew, I said, I don't give a darn what color. Because the guy asked me a question. He said, well, he's white. I said, I don't care if he's white. I don't care if he's white, blue, green, or brown. As long as can he fight? And that's all I cared about. But today, everybody's worrying about their fighter that they signed up, who they gave a bonus check to, and they're making sure that he's
bonus.
And that's what it's all about.
The question is, after all these years, you guys been in the game so long, how do we let this happen? Did this happen overnight?
Did it happen overnight? No. What happened was everybody that was really new to business, like they're too old, And the fact is that the guys that came in with the money and everything is not out. Let me just say this. I'm here, all right? And I called De La Hoya's office. And I said, when they said they was going to come to Brooklyn, I said, I will help you guys out to go to Brooklyn because I'm in the New York area. You from L.A. I'm from New York. You know, I'm going to help you in the Brooklyn. I can help you make this show good. Have not got a return call. Okay? So I went to Florida. There it is.
Hmm. And, well, and Doc, that's the fact that everybody obviously is looking out for their best interest and only their best interest. Hey, Doc, we've had this conversation before, and I always tell you that the name of pro sports is all about money green. That's all it's about, pro sports, money green.
And I tell you, I would not be able to work for them anyway. I was going to be a consultant because I know how I am. And they told me to make a match for one of their fighters. I'd have got them knocked out. So I
remember one night like that, Harold. Somebody got knocked out.
Oh my God!
And I said, Harold. I said, man, boy, he got knocked out. He said, yeah, Mel, he lost. Next fight, come on, get the other fight out of here. Harold, yeah, well, I guess he didn't make it.
And believe me, I would get their fighters knocked out. Believe me, with guys
oh,
that
that's hysterical.
Bad.
Oh.
Let's talk a little baseball.
Let's
talk a little baseball real quick, gang. You know, Yankees, big series this weekend. They avoided a sweep. Lost Friday night to Baltimore. Won the middle game yesterday, but lost the big game today. And it may be even a little more serious than what we think if Curtis Granderson, who is the number one home run hitter.
Doc, can you spell choke?
No, it's not choke. It's not. Come on, it's one game.
They needed to make a statement. Hey, Doc, they needed to make a statement with the Orioles this weekend. They needed to make a statement.
Listen, you're not trying to lose any game. The Orioles have been red hot. Okay, the Yankees have been not. And let's look at the Yankees. I mean, CeCe is just coming back. A-Rod is still out. Granderson went out yesterday. Now, you encourage Granderson. You have the number one home run hitter in all of baseball since last year. Nobody's hit more home runs than Curtis Granderson. And who plays the better center field? Nobody. You can't lose a guy like that. A-Rod, love him, hate him or not, A-Rod's one of the greats of the game. He's been out for long. Texas went down, okay? CeCe is just coming back. So, I mean, they will look at it and get swept. We got to see what happens.
I understand that, and your point is well taken. But by the same token, though, I believe they had gone some weeks ago, I think they had like a 10-game lead, which is now, I believe, a 2-game lead. Nobody's going to feel sorry, Doc, because they have injuries. Every team in the majors has injuries.
I'm not saying, Rooney, that you have to feel sorry, but I'm saying I remember when the Giants beat the Dodgers in 1962, and what happened was Koufax got hurt. And my uncle said, hey, you know, you got to look at the fact that, you know, the Dodgers lost Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax in his five-year period in baseball. Sandy Koufax averaged 25 wins a game, 307 strikeouts a game, okay, 297 innings pitched per season, and a 1.86. You got to miss a guy like that. You got to miss A-Rod.
Yeah.
You got to miss Tex. You got to miss Granderson. I'm not saying they didn't lose the game, but you can't lose those kind of people.
Those guys are the catalyst that make the team.
And not only that, I mean, Granderson
is going to make it to the playoffs. Is the question they do make?
Granderson, here's a guy who should have been the MVP. And Rooney, you know, it's not always about green. You know, and the sad part about America, it's always about black and white. Here's a guy last year who was number two in home runs, okay, in baseball. Okay, he was number three in RBIs and number one in scored runs, okay? Then played a stellar center field for you every game. And his team had the best record in the American League. And yet the MVP was a pitcher. How did that happen? A pitcher that completed five games the whole year. And
right on the money, Doc.
And in baseball today, we know that it's the bullpen that wins the games. So this guy completed five games all year. He's pitching every fifth day. So that means if he pitches Sunday, You don't see him again until Friday, and you tell him he's the most valuable player? I don't think so.
You know that I've never been in favor of pitchers getting the MVP, and let's just put in something like that.
There was a time.
I've never been in favor of pitchers running the MVP. Cy Young, yes. But I think an everyday player should be the, you know, winning the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, in that respect, I agree. Yeah. I mean, there's an exception. I mean, Koufax in 63.
Right. I mean, he's winning 25 games or, you know, 30 games.
Yeah,
which I think hasn't been done since Denny McClain. I'm with you, but for the most part, I think every
player should win
the MVP.
He won the 30 games in 1967. But even when he won the 30 games, I think his team averaged 5-6 runs a game every time he went out there. But that's just how it is. Gang, let's take a quick break because we don't want to go too long. We've got the whole group here, and Lady A is back. So hang on just a minute, gang. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth Show. We're going to talk some JTS Jets and G-I-A-N-T. Giants, Cowboys. How about them Cowboys and the Giants this Wednesday? Jets come back on Sunday against the Bills. As the NFL season opens up. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Up is a show. Don't anybody say a single word. As Sid Gaddy Jr. would say, that classic line, don't move another feather. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network.
Day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Losing them Bill Freeman in the background. A little quick talk a little bit. Some other things. Out at the U.S. Open. Serena Williams, ranked number 4, playing like number 1. And she's rocking and rolling. Venus Williams got knocked out of the U.S. Open tennis out there. And
my man Andy Roddick, baby.
Andy Roddick has announced.
He's going to retire after this.
This is who we tie after this, but he's
continued
to win.
Yeah, what a match, though. Today was a great match.
Well, right. But you know the guy that nobody's talking about is Roger Federer. You know, Federer last year and a half looked like he was on his way out. And actually, you know, it's amazing how one guy makes a difference because we've lost the left-handed Spaniard. His name would take me for a minute, but he hasn't been able to play. Yeah, he's had some...
Rafael.
I knew once I said Latin, Dusty would come right in, you know, he would hit
Rafael
right up.
Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, and he has been having some knee problems, and him and Roger had some classic matches. The guy I always thought was the best that ever did it was John Patrick McEnroe. He still has the one season record, that 83-3 one year, won 7 Grand Slam. More importantly, you know, he's been the guy that's really picked up the mantle for the late, great Arthur Ashe. And
he's in Doc Stanley's Hall of Fame. Thank you.
You know, McEnroe is a big boxing fan, too. Thanks a lot, lady. DocStanleySports.com, that's the site for the Trust in God Sports and Depth Hall of Fame. Hit that site, and you can look into some of the things. We have McEnroe is here. We also want to check my blog now. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com.br. That's from Brazil. Hello, Rosie, who's still with us. Then hi, everybody in Brazil. Décio Cotamastro Jr. is in town today. Brazilian Day was saluted today. The 7th of September is Independence Day for Brazil. It's also the birthday of Gloria Gaynor. He was in town today with my man Wayne Vaughn. Wayne Vaughn is the guy who wrote Let's Groove Tonight and married to that great singer Wanda of the Emotions. And yeah, so it is, Rosie. Everybody, not everybody. And also we had my man backup singer for Gloria Gaynor. So they were all there, and that group, Taste of Honey, they did the national anthem today in over in the Kolo, Italy. It's like 46th Avenue, the whole area there, near the Brazilian consulate. They call it Little Brazil, but they must have about 1 million people out there today, but they sung the national anthem. They should always fly from Brazil. In the last few years, he's got Billy Paul, Gloria Gaynor, Sissy Houston, Thelma Houston, Roberta Flack, Ziggy Marley, among the American artists to come in and sing the national anthem. quite an event. Things that happened here, we're real quickly going around the venue. I want to tell you what happened at the U.S. Open, and the Yankees are on the road now. They'll kind of take this thing out now. The end of division play has really been good because you play the teams that are in the race with you. So they're on the way to Tampa. Tampa's 3.5 games back. And the Baltimore Orioles right now, it's without a question that the manager of the year is nobody else but Buck Showalter. And over in the National League, I mean, who else can it be but Davey Johnson? And he's done. I, you know, you don't know if how much of it is the great job that he's done, or how much of it is the fact that the maturity of the young players. But anyway, the manager of the year, I think, is no question, is Buck Showalter, and he's. So this will be his third time winning the manager of the year award, and I think he'll join Dusty Baker as the only 3-time winner. Dusty won it.
Yeah.
I think Dusty won all his with the Giants. I don't think he won it with the Reds. Buck has won it. He'll win it with Baltimore. I mean, he won it with the Diamondbacks. And he won it with those two. And, you know, won it with the Yankees. What I'm talking about. Remember Dusty? He won it with the Yankees. He got fired. Took him to the playoffs. And
then
lost
fired.
The playoffs. And said, sayonara. So he's won it with the Yankees. He won it with the Diamondbacks. And now he'll win it with the Baltimore Orioles. All two American League teams and one National League team. Real
he's
quick,
always been
back,
a good manager.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a good man. Goes by the book. One thing here, Brazil wants to do them again. As you know, they won 17 medals in the Olympics. And also the fact that the World Cup will be played there in 2014. And they'll get Rio de Janeiro in 2016. Rosie, let me know if I'm saying these things right. Let's get back to it. Real quickly, C-Wing should be joining us here. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, but the Jets did get into the end zone the other day. They were going against the Buffalo Bills, who went to Super Bowl 4 straight times. The Cowboys will be – I don't think – no, the Cowboys are just like the Patriots. No, the Giants can just beat them anytime they team that they want to. And
Josh, can I ask you a question now that you just brought up football very briefly?
Yeah.
I would like to get the panel's opinion. Like, if you had to analyze how many games that you saw that you would think the Jets will win this season, how many games you think they'll win this season?
You know what? And let me tell you something right now, panel.
I'm telling you right now, you know how I felt about the beginning of the season.
Let me tell you right now. The lower the number, the more glee you will bring to Lady A. Okay.
Well, Doc, I already said on your show the answer
I say the most seven. The most, and I'm
nine
not
and
four,
seven, Doc. Lady A, that's your answer. 9-7. There we go.
Seven,
what happened to Mike?
Said,
we lost
seven.
Mike. How? Now, you're a boxing guy. How many games did you just win in this year, Hal?
5 or 7.
Dang.
I mean, you know, I'm going by the fact that the comments they made the other day when they said the pregame's a no big thing, you know.
Yup. There you go. Oh, my God.
I
love you, Harold.
I love you, Harold.
When I see you, I'm going to kiss you, Harold.
I can understand you saying, you know, we lost by points, but you ain't made no touchdown. And then you're going to talk about it's no big thing about the preseason. My point about the Jets, it's like, let me just give you this, Alan. It's like a fighter being in the gym getting knocked down every day or getting knocked out every day. He's getting ready to go for a major fight.
Oh, my God.
Fight.
Thank you, Harold.
Right?
I'm going to kiss you when I see you.
That's where the Jets are at. And when they come out, believe me, they're going to be so horrible and everybody's going to jump on them so bad because, you know, they're getting all the prestige. But I'm telling you, they ain't going nowhere. They look sloppy in the games that they were. They don't have it together. They really don't have it together.
Well, one thing for sure, Rooney, they won't have turnstile Hunter to blame anymore. Will
I was about to say the answer is Wayne Hunter, Doc. You know, actually, believe it or not, Doc, they've actually, since the exit of Mr. Hunter, have done a decent job on the right side of the line now. They're not a great offensive line by any means, but they may be serviceable. Let me say this, Doc. They're going to have to win a lot of games predicated on their defense, special teams. And as Harold said, they're not looking great offensively. They're going to have to – let me say this, okay? I know Dusty wasn't a huge fan of Tebow coming here because we all know that they need a lot of other weapons. But it's going to turn out, man, that they're going to think they're lucky stars with Tebow. But quite frankly, I don't know if Sean Green, as their feature back, is going to be getting it done. I don't think he's a 20-carrier game back.
Oh, I meant to ask you guys, did you hear what happened with Joe McKnight?
No, what happened?
With Joe McKnight, the whole thing with him being, they said that it was possible that in his college days he might have done he might have been involved in you know how the boosters give illegal gifts and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, hold on, Lady A. Real quickly, gang. You know, one of the reasons why Rosie listens to Sports in Depth is she feels she can learn the language by listening to this astute crew. And what she's doing, too, you know, which is just a tribute to all of you, is she's learning about the genre and the vibe of sports. Now, here's a lady who's been listening to us, you know, a few months now. Now, she said what all y'all just thought is good points about the trainer and the consequences of the promoters and the fight. You know, your education, you know, people understand. I like to tell a lot of my Brazilian friends, they say, like, you know, I want to speak perfect English. And you're not going to speak perfect English because, first of all, nobody speaks perfect English, but you want to be able to understand, you know, why say, well, I think in retrospect, due to the transitional situation, what are you saying? Hey, events of the past and the way. So you got to be simplistic, but you all, in your genius and your simplicity, are just outstanding. I mean, I'm looking at what this young lady is saying, who's learning the language, and yet listen to Sports in Depth. She just made these points that y'all made, good points about the fighters, trainers, and the consequences, and the perspective of the promoters and the fighters. So I just want to tell Rosie, thanks so much for your intellect. And I think if somebody like this, who is just learning language, can grasp what we're saying, then, you know, all of you on this panel should really pat yourself on the back for what you're doing here, because Sports in Depth is also about the facts, the truth, and we want to educate. And I just want to thank all of you for what you're doing for this show, for my friend Rosie, but for the world. I mean, I just thought this was a tribute to all of y'all, that here is a young lady who is just trying to master the language. She's been trying to learn English for maybe about a year. But in listening to Sports in Depth, she's learning about the genre and the vibe of sports and picking up the language. So, Rosie, congratulations on you and my panel. Just a great, great job. You know, that's the idea, you know, to reach somebody. And we've done it, you know.
Speaking of facts, Doc, Miguel Cotto's opponent in Madison Square Garden is Austin Trout, a pretty good middleweight journeyman with a clout. And I've seen him fight before.
Now, Dusty, is this fight going to be upstairs?
Oh, it has to be upstairs. Oh, wait a minute. You're right. Good question.
My fight is
Austin Trout. I mean, I don't see Miguel fighting in the theater.
Well, Dusty, but here's a good question. You know, Dusty, quit bringing these issues that are so good to discuss. Ain't you got to go to walk the dog again or something, Dusty?
Hey, Doc, I have to tell you, Austin Trout, I got to tell you, Dusty, I've never heard of him.
Austin
Trout has fought many of fights and is Friday night fights with, that guy, Teddy Atlas, and he's a pretty good banger, Austin Trout. I've seen him fight.
But you know the thing here now, you know what I'm thinking, gang? And Lady A, I'm thinking this is a fight that's going to be, you know what, this is great for him. He's probably going to self-promotion. This is a fight that can't go in the garden. Lady A, it can't go upstairs because everybody is saying this, if it was the Puerto Rican Day thing, it would work. But everybody is saying, Lady A, what Rooney just said, what Malcolm said, Austin who?
It doesn't matter because he brings the people into the garden. Look at the fight that we went to see with Margarito, even though Margarito was a different name.
Me and more. Margarito has
a
following.
But listen, he has fought. You know who Cotto has fought in the garden? You know how many guys? Cotto's fought, I could say off the bat. Let me see. He fought that guy.
Malignaggi. He fought Malignaggi. Hold on a second.
Hey, Dusty, what's the name of the guy that he broke his jaw and his clavicle all in the same fight? Was it Gianbranco?
The guy who beat Cotto in the Olympics.
No, the guy, Gianbranco, right?
Cotto in the Olympics, yeah, and he's a guy that beat, go to the Olympics and go to won the 140-pound title.
Yeah, but you know what, Dusty? If you remember,
and he
Cotto,
broke his clavicle
Cotto
and he
fought,
broke his jaw in three places.
Yeah, but Cotto also fought that guy Jennings in the small room down in AC. You know, so
yeah.
He fought Corte. What's the guy's name from Guyana? I got to think of his name. He fought. Yeah, but those fights were in the summertime, part of the Puerto Rican Day promotion.
Yeah.
Cloudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he is not going to sell out the Garden in December.
Yeah.
Fight Austin Trout.
Unless it's Three Kings Day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, and it'll say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but.
Yeah.
But
January.
Yeah,
I heard
no,
you, Dusty. That's January, Three Kings Day. I know a little something about that, too, Buster. That's
yeah,
January.
But he fought this guy in Yankee Stadium, guys, and it wasn't, oh, you know what?
Yeah,
no,
but,
what's
yeah,
Puerto
but who
Rican?
Did he
no,
fight?
Puerto
he fought a Blanquito, a Julio in June, okay, as a top-ranked fight, and he had a nice little undercard. Okay, you could do that, in the, and then he was still part of top rank.
You mean Alfonso Gomez, you mean?
No, he fought Yuri Foreman in Yankee Stadium.
Yuri Foreman.
Oh, yeah, no, Yuri Foreman, yeah.
Yeah, but Foreman had come off a big win. I mean, the thing that, remember what Emmanuel said, that was all Yuri Foreman's party. I mean, that was the fight that Cotto was supposed to win. You were just using his name, and you were using the glow and the flame of what Foreman had done, and then you would say, outdoor fight, Yankee Stadium. It was summer, and Cotto was great because you had that. You got all the Hispanic crowd, Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, Ecuador, anybody Hispanic, and you know a lot of people, they wanted to be there to say, hey, I went to Yankee Stadium. So what? They wasn't playing baseball. I was in Yankee Stadium. It just and the Yankee Stadium had just opened up. So everything worked there from a promotion standpoint of view. I can't see him. I mean, I can talk to people about. They did say they had to put that. There's no way in the world he's going to sell out Madison Square Garden fighting Austin Trout. That's out.
I don't know, but
Well, then I agree with you, Doc. It has to be in the theater. He's making a comeback anyway because he got slapped around by Mayweather. So this is a comeback fight.
Yeah.
Can I say something to you guys?
Go ahead, Harold.
First thing, the reason why it's not going to do good is for this. They are fighting in December.
Mm-hmm.
Got to call you back. They're fighting in December, okay? Which is Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. The economy is bad, okay?
Yeah.
The other guy, we don't know who he is. All right? We don't know who he is. And why would I spend $150, and that's not even ringside, to watch a fight where I don't even know who the other guy is, to watch Cotto fight, and it's Christmas time, and my baby or my girlfriend's got to get a present.
That's funny.
All right.
Tell
no, that's
like
logic. That's
the
logic.
The president will be the president will be if this guy can fight it all. That'll be the president.
But that had nothing to do with it. The point is nobody knows
him. This guy can fight it all.
That has nothing to do with it.
The guy can fight about that. Listen, you know what? And it's just, I mean, it's you know, if you price the fight nicely, we can do a little something with it.
Mel,
exactly.
If you price a fight at $5 a ticket, it's still not going to do 20,000 people.
Oh no! Harold, the fight is in the small room. No question about it. The fight's in
the poor, you
know what? He probably wished that Oscar hadn't beat it to him. He probably would have
Just understand how you got to promote it. First is December. We don't know what the weather's going to be that day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's Christmas time. Like I said, this fight is not Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And why would I want to spend to see Cotto fight when I've seen guys butt beat before this, and I know he's almost 40-something years old? I'm tired of Cotto. He's not something I want to spend $150, $200 to watch, especially in December, in the cold, on a diet when Christmas is 25 days away.
Right. It's true. So
You know what, guys? You know what's killing me, though? Why does he keep taking these fights at the end of the year? Because, hey, like, the Margarito fight was the third of this past year. You know what I mean? So why does he keep taking these December fights? That's weird. I don't know why he keeps doing these December fights.
Well, Cotto didn't pick any of his fights for 10 years.
That's true. Bob
Now he's a free agent. So he's making his own decisions. I told Doc the other day that the rumors were that it would be Pacquiao and Cotto in the garden because Pacquiao canceled his fight in November. He was not going to fight in November, but he definitely has a fight in a fight contract for December. So I said, and then the rumors, they're talking about Cotto and Pacquiao revenge time because Cotto wants to get even with all the guys that beat him. Now, all of a sudden, I see ESPN Latino. There's a big talk of fights. And this call to interview, I'm finding Austin Trout. I said, are you for real, Austin Trout? This guy's good, and this guy's bad. He's a journeyman fighter. He wouldn't even draw flies. What's he going to do in the garden? And you're right, Doc. It probably would be in the theater. It's a warm-up for Cotto. He must have something else in the bag, man. You know, because of the fact that...
Who do you think? Who do you think?
Done.
Bradley?
What,
I mean, who do you
know.
Think? Bradley? Come on. I wouldn't pay.
No,
I don't even think that's going to be...
Who? Cotto's not going to fight Bradley. Bradley's on 47 pounds. Cotto's
yeah, but, I mean, who?
Who
did he fight? Who does he have left to fight? That's what I'm saying.
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that after the Mayweather slapping, man, he had enough time to fight Canelo Alvarez. He didn't take it. He turned it down.
Yeah.
He turned it down.
But who,
okay?
Who's left? I'm saying, who's left, really? I mean, that's why I said Bradley. Who? Who?
Well,
he's fought so
yes.
many people in the sport already.
Bradley's going to stay 40 and 47, and he may or may not fight Pacquiao. He may or may not fight Mayweather. There's talk to him and Mayweather with the new TMT. So, I mean, what are we going to do? You know, the fact of the matter is that when I see Austin Trout, I said, Jesus Christ, are you for real?
I'm like, how now? Does that matter, please?
Yeah.
Like Lady A said, who's left that? It's not who's left.
It's not.
Exactly.
He's
fought
so many guys already. I mean, who's left for him to really draw?
Yeah, not who's
right,
left, but who's left that matters. Who's
right.
left that anybody cares? Like Harold said, who's left that anybody cares about you fighting?
Right,
that's,
exactly.
That's the
people, as bad as boxing is and 100% backup of Harold Weston, Larry Merchant said something which was very profound, and I agree with him. As bad as boxing is and as disgusted as we are, and we feel that it is finished, you'll always have a following. There'll always be some bloke who's going to put his hand and his money in the turnstile to see a fight. And that's basically what it is. We are suckers. We are sucked into this because we are fight lovers. No matter what happens, the raw decisions,
yeah, like
that
slob
coming
in. How about
overweight.
Giving the fans a treat every now and then? And here's a novel idea. Matching two guys that can actually fight. How about that?
They ain't going to do it.
You know,
Doug,
you said that, okay? Let me ask you a question. Give me five fighters right now, right off, in any way, give me five fighters that can fight today and got a name.
Where are they? Can I say?
No, you said that. Larry said that this thing will go around. We'll still pay for it. If that's going to happen, give me five guys right now that got in all weight classes right now that we can recognize that can fight and bring us to that status.
Yeah. My answer to your comment is that the audience is not as critical as you and I could be because we see the slobs and the garbage. They're just going down there with a couple of beers and seeing a fight.
My point is, I'm asking you a question. Give me five names.
Five names. That I would say.
Okay, here's five guys.
Okay.
Here's five guys that the fans would fight to see.
Okay.
For some reason, they still think Bernard Hopkins is viable. You got Pacquiao.
Let me ask you a question. Juan Manuel Marquez.
Yeah,
I just
said that.
Obviously, Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather, go ahead.
Yeah, Pacquiao.
Pacquiao.
Obviously,
Pacquiao, but with a question mark because Pacquiao
no,
shot.
No, but Dusty, Dusty, there's no question mark. We're talking about We're talking about five guys
that he would
not experts. We're not talking about five guys that people enter. We're talking about five guys that people will name.
Yes.
We'll go and see.
Yes.
Well, this is what I'm asking.
Build it.
Yeah. Okay.
Build it, and they will come. They will come see Mayweather.
Now.
They will come see
now,
Pacquiao.
They
will come see. They still will come and see Bernard Hackett. They're
going to
see Marquez.
You got,
well, Bernard's retired. So how are you going to put Bernard in the thing?
Exactly.
Did he officially retire?
Bernard retired. So you can't put him in this. How you got Bernard in there?
He said he was going to name and let y'all know when he's going to retire.
He lost his last fight. But go ahead.
Even if he hadn't retired, I would not put him in that category because nobody will go see him fight.
And
if he's
going to retire,
people will come see Bernard Hopkins.
Did you see his last fight?
I agree with you, but people will come. I read something the other day that was Sad. Again, Harold, it was Sad. That's the only one that's got Hopkins. Everybody said no. Listen,
I mean,
if
we were in the jury room, and we said no, you're going to hold up the jury room.
Harold, then I'll do the show next week by myself.
I'll do the show next week by myself, baby.
Y'all ain't catching on here, baby.
Hey, Harold, you know
what cracked me up the day? I saw this article. It was an old article, and it said how to box by the living legend. So I looked on the byline. Do you know whose byline it was, Harold?
No.
Bernard Hopkins.
Self-proclaimed living legend.
Yeah, living legend. Go ahead, gang. Oh, hold on, gang. We got to do a little break here, and we'll be right back. Because it's that in-between section here. Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake, the Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network, the show. Yeah, the gang is all here. And finally, Bernard Hopkins has said goodbye. Don't know why I said another word, especially you, Dusty. Dusty, this is for you. This is for you.
The opinions and views expressed by the hosts and guests are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network.
Are you trying to say
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley Sports in Depth.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake. You're at another Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show. The gang is all here. Harold Weston Jr., Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Destino Baby Lewis Jr. We're looking for the Sea Wings. I guess he's getting ready for that jet game. And the Hoosers should join us. But the first lady of Blake Radio Sports is here, Lady A. And we're back here. And, you know, gang, we'll quickly come back to boxing. But everybody's talking so much. And the thing you talked about, Winnie, let you kick it off. Underneath the radar, everybody's talking about the Jets, and Harold talked about that too. Let's talk about the Giants. You know, they had a rough schedule last year. They got through that. They healed, won another Super Bowl. We're going to let you kick it off, Winnie. Where do you see the Giants going this year? I think they own the Cowboys, so that's two games they're going to win. Philadelphia, they don't protect Vic. You know, he's going to be gone. Where do you see the Super Bowl champions? How many games? Okay, we picked the amount of games we're going to Jets, anywhere from 5 to 7, 8 games. How many games do you see them win? And here's a question, panel. Can they win the Super Bowl again? Start it off, Winnie.
Doc, it's really hard to repeat in this league and as Super Bowl champions. I mean, it's really hard to repeat. As for how many games you're going to win this year, wow, Doc, you wouldn't lead that off with me. I had a feeling I was going to get the lead off question on that. But in all seriousness, Doc, Man, the Giants, I mean, they could win, they could win anywhere from, they could win 10 games, they could win 12 games. It depends on the injuries, Doc, what happens throughout the year. I will say this, however, when, and I don't have to tell you in the panel this, Doc, when you are the world champions, you have a big target on your back. And even the lesser teams, when they play you, that's their Super Bowl, okay? So everybody's going to be gunning to them for them. Now, so far this offseason, they've been, as you said earlier, doing their work quietly under the radar while the Jets have been getting all this Tebow ink and everything else. They've been quietly going along their business, quietly and officially. But I have a let me answer that question a little bit better, Doc, after I see how they look against the Cowboys Wednesday.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, I have to tell you that, hey, Howard, I know what I just finished saying was profound, but I didn't expect this much silence.
I know. I mean, golly.
Oh, now, can you repeat that one more time, Rooney?
Okay. Hey, but Doc, defending champions, everybody that plays them, to them it's their Super Bowl. So, like, they could win 10 games, they could win 12 games, they could win 9 games. Let me see how they look against their arch rivals, the Cowboys, and I'll have a little bit of the
if I'm correct, they beat the Cowboys twice last year, and I remember the game in Dallas because I saw that game in Brazil. It was just that was the game where your man JPP, I'll never forget the Collinsworth saying that off that game alone, he made all pro and had established himself as one of the great defensive players. Lady A, we'll let you follow up. We know how you feel about the Jets. How do you feel about the Giants? Can they win it again? Will
no,
they
my,
make it back
my
to play?
My feedback on the Jets is quah, 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 quah.
And the Giants.
I haven't really had a chance to really look at them too much for the preseason and watch them play. So I'm gonna stay without making a comment.
Yeah, that's amazing that you said that. You know, Harold talked about that too.
The preseason has not struck me as like something I have to watch, especially after like the comment that. Like Mark Sanchez said, "Oh, this is only the preseason." I mean, what are you talking about? I don't know. I just haven't really had too much enthusiasm to watch the preseason.
It's really not a good gauge anyway because you don't play the regular guys after
not at all.
I mean, you're looking at other people, but I took a little story in the blog too. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Up Show, was that it seems that the Jets do, not the Jets, the Giants have the New England's number. They beat them both times in the Super Bowl they played them. They beat them both times last year they played in the regular season, and they beat them in the preseason. But, Harold, you said something that was just so apropos and soft and profound. You know, everybody's talking about the Jets. Everybody's looking at the Jets. Nobody's looking at the Giants. And the Giants are the champions, Harold.
Yep.
Yeah, well, my thing is that's what makes them, be what I'm thinking is that they're gonna be favored to win the Super Bowl. I'm with you guys. I mean, I think they're gonna win 10 to 12 games. Okay, they're gonna make it to the playoffs. It's just the end with them somebody getting hurt on their team is the thing that you gotta worry about, and that's the whole key point. Can they stay healthy through the whole season to that playoff time? So they're gonna make it to the playoffs. If they stay healthy, get to the playoffs and go to the championship. And like you're saying, I mean, they're going to have a target on their back. Everybody knows that. But I think the Giants are really pumped up this year because of the Tebow situation and because now they got to defend to see if they can repeat again. Because that is a challenge. That is very hard. I mean, like I said to y'all last year, that this football league today is really tough for everybody. So you really, you just ain't got no outright winners come going into the,
Well, I mean, the great line that C-Wing said, we talk about NFL football that stands for not for long. So,
I'm very impressed with the football league now, especially these last couple of years, because everybody's got a level of players on their team that anybody can knock anybody off. And
I'm going to tell you guys something. A sleeper team.
Except the Jets.
No, but no. Harold, I'm going to tell you a sleeper team. The Carolina Panthers, man. People sleeping on that team. Yo, that kid Cam Newton is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they was here last week, and they didn't have a good buddy Steve Smith. I was looking for him. He didn't make with him.
Yeah, I haven't really watched the preseason too tough, especially like the Jets just turned me off. That comment by Sanchez in the paper talking about, how could you listen? You guys haven't even scored a touchdown. How are you saying? Come on, you have a lot to work on. You have a lot to work on.
Well, Lady A, the reason you haven't seen Tebow and Sanchez on the field at the same time is because they're going to be using a lot of those packages with them on the field at the same time.
Yeah, but you know what? How do you put together a team? Okay, listen. Let's call a spade, okay? How do you call yourself a football team that you're talking about, especially Ryan? Rex Ryan's talking all this garbage about, with football team. Blah, blah. Listen, let me tell you something, Papa. You might not even have a job next season. You know why? Okay, number one is because he was talking a good game, okay? But when you go out in the off season, you get another quarterback and you don't get an offensive line. You don't get decent running backs. You don't get wide receivers. How are you going to win a football game?
Yeah, but Lady A,
that's the GM's fault.
That's a good one. You can't fault Ryan. I mean, the guy, it's amazing.
Yeah, but Doc, you know what? In a way, you know, you talk a good game, you got to back it up.
What Rooney has said, and what may happen too, that Ryan may take the fall, but it's the GM. I mean, I remember Red Holtzman didn't want Earl Monroe on the Knicks. Didn't think he would fit into the offensive floor of the Knicks. So, I mean, you know, and this is what Sea Wings told us 2 years ago, that they, Baylon Edwards, the guy from the Wildcat, we lost Chris Jenkins, we never replaced, like Larry Hardy said. There were two or three guys on the line. You know, we let some key guys go. I mean, to a certain degree, we got to take our hat off to Ryan for going 8-8 last year. Because, I mean, they took a lot of key players away from him, and he still came out with a 500 season.
And not only good ball players, Doc, did they take from Rex, not only good ball players, but the leadership guys, Doc.
Yes.
Wow.
The leadership guys.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. One of the good things that I saw was that you got guys like David Harris and Bart Scott, you know, stepping up and trying to maintain some kind of leadership on the team now early on the season, but – you know what? Who's to say what the season's going to be like? I mean, you know, like I said, I didn't really watch too much of the preseason, but just early on from what I heard, it sounded like they were trying to take the leadership
role.
Well,
you make a great point. I mean, preseason is you know, just that. I mean, it's basically after the first two games, is getting in shape and looking at guys. There's a lot to what Sanchez said, but on the other hand, you haven't gotten in the end zone. All the other teams are getting in the end zone.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're coming up short someplace. I mean,
right.
It's not to worry about it. But
right.
So you got to look at that. I mean, you know, Eric Bielsa is going to the dance, and you ain't going to the dance. So, I mean, maybe it's a pretty good dance after all. You just ain't going. So, but you learn that in the preseason, because the last thing you want is, and that used to happen in the old days, you know, guys playing the preseason and you lose a valuable play. Now, I heard some talk about the possibility of cutting the preseason from four games to two and adding two more games onto the regular season. So that means the preseason would even be shortened, which would make training camp really, because me and Sea Wings were out at the training camp, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake, but another Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network for the show. When we were out at the training camp, the Jets were running some Wildcat plays, and Bruce Sprite, along with Jared Weekly and the lovely Morgan Gilmore, they both turned to the media. Bruce said, hey, look, you know, what you see now, you can't report on. You can't film, you can't report, you can't write about. And they were going through some of their Wildcat schemes and stuff. So that would mean that if we go to two more games, I don't know, sir. I'm just trying to wonder, if you play two more games, where are you going to fit them at? I mean, so that means you're going to be playing football into February, because as it is, you start the season in September, so you have to play, I guess, Super Bowl.
They may start the season in August, who knows, and put it in the front. You never know.
You know what? Now, that's a thought.
Yeah, because if they do that, I mean, the only flip side to that is, guys, is two more games means two more games guys can get injured in. you know.
Well, yeah,
we're
definitely going
to have to get the Players Association okay, Lady A.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Well, see, but the thinking is, you'd rather get injured getting paid than
in
not
real
get,
games, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if, you know, if you're going to take a hit, okay, so now the team picks up the hospitalization and you get paid, because, I mean, that's the big problem with NFL football. The only guaranteed money is bonus money.
Right.
Everything else is not guaranteed. So, you know, you got the bonus money. I mean, so, and that's a good point you make, too, Lady A, because you can start the season in August when the weather's still good. So you get two games. And I don't understand why the schedule maker wouldn't try to get teams that play, get a Green Bay and a Detroit game in here.
Yeah.
Huh? No,
you have to understand something.
No, I'm just saying, I would think if you did do that, you would try to get the cold weather teams to come into the cold weather areas while the weather was good. So, I mean, because that was one of the big things why the Super Bowl came about.
No, but you have to understand something, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, panel. Football is a cold weather sport. One. Every one of those guys that go on the field, they look like RoboCop. And they're playing a full pads, a full, tough, physical game. How many dudes have passed out from exhaustion? How many dudes have had strokes? How many dudes, you know, you can't do this in hot weather.
I don't mean it to be hot weather. Plus, you know, Dusty, the way things are now, everything's air-conditioned. But one of the reasons why the Super Bowl was played on a neutral site, and this is what makes it crazy about playing it in New York, was that Green Bay played the Cleveland Browns, and they played the game in Green Bay, and it wasn't as bad as the Frozen Bowl, but you know Dick Young wrote a column about, you know, when you play a championship game, you want to see the players play the best they can under the conditions that allows them to play that, and that's why the Super Bowl was put into a position of a warm weather climate or a dome area so the players can perform without slipping and sliding on the snow and stuff like that.
Doc, is when you relegate it from now on, make it a rule part of when you play the Super Bowl, you play it in a dome park where you have neutral weather and you're able to play so you can get away from the snow.
I agree with you, but look at the Giants, Dusty. They build this place here. They're in a cold weather area. Well, it's not that bad, but the point is they didn't put a dome on the place.
Well, then get a few extra bucks from the fans and put a dome on it. I mean,
they're getting all the bucks from the fans anyway.
But that's what they should have done to begin with. If they didn't want to spend the extra $100 million or so to make it let me say this, okay, Doc?
I have a prediction that
within the next 30 years, all football, there will all be dome stadia in the next 30 years or so.
And that was one of the big reasons why in Minnesota they finally got a dome stadium, because the weather was just so crazy out there. And then you had Bud Grant, who was the coach of the team, who didn't allow the guys to have hand warmers. I mean, so you like sugar in your coffee, but you can't put it in there. So that was one of the big reasons why Minnesota finally got a dome stadium, because you want to see the guys playing their best. I mean, there's a lot to be said for people sitting out there at sub-zero weather watching football game. You got to be crazy. I'd rather be home watching it. But
That's what I'm saying, Doc. In the next 30 years, my prediction is that in the next 30 years, every new stadium that is built, it will all be dome stadia. All dome.
Maybe you may be right. You know, who knows? But at the same time, you cannot change climates or weathers, because in August you're still playing baseball. And what are you going to have? One day you're going to see baseball, the next day you're going to see football.
Yeah, but Dusty, with the player format on all these things now, I mean, there used to be a time, you remember, Dusty, you were back there with Cain Abel, but you remember, Dusty, every season ended in season. The World Series over by October, football season over by December, the hockey season was over by February, the basketball season was over by February. Now, you know, with all these playoffs due to the money, everything is running into everything else. You got football still going on when there's baseball. You got hockey still going on when there's basketball. You got basketball still going on when there's baseball. And it's all about the dollar. Gang, hold on a minute. Everybody keep your thoughts. Hold on. That's about it. Don't everybody, hey, Don't anybody move another feather.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
And what we're going to do, too, gang, we're going to take a quick moment to kind of let it get away. We wanted to send out some get well wishes to Crystal Hart and her dad. You know, her dad is not in the best health. At the same time, we want to take this moment and everybody here at Sports and Depth and the Blake Radio, we want to send our condolences to Sheila, who comes on before us. You've been on that show too, Dusty, and I was talking to her the other day, and it was, she had just, I said, man, she shows us a lot about George Foster, you know what I mean? She said, oh, yeah, I said, yeah, I said, yeah, George, he's your cousin, huh? She said, no, I'm Mrs. Foster. And, but her father passed away, and all everybody here at Sports in Depth send our condolences and our prayers. She had relocated for a while to be with her dad, and so her dad passed away last week. The first lady of Blake Radio, Deirdre Shuler, had informed me of that. So everybody here, we're going to take this time out. She's a show prior to ours, so we just want to let her know our heartfelt sympathy. She's in our prayers and thoughts. George Foster is Sheila's husband, and he'll be with us. We're looking to have George on the show next week, along with Cleo Kilpatrick.
The Georgie Foster lightweight contender?
No. George Foster, the baseball player.
Oh, okay.
I want to send get well wishes to my uncle who got diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. So I want to,
wow.
You know, I want to send get well wishes to him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to also want to say happy birthday to Shamari Hardesty, son of the legendary Larry Hardesty, number one African-American sports guest in the history of New York City radio. And we got some other birthdays. My son Mel Jr. will be coming up. He'll be next week. The 7th is Independence Day for Brazil, my país. And also the birthday of the only disco artist ever to win a Grammy, the one and only Gloria Gaynor. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Network Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports of the Show. We're here. We got another large half hour to go. The gang is all here.
Gentlemen, I have to go. I got to go.
Okay.
Harold, real quickly, can you? We want before you run, Ward and Dawson. Who do you like in that fight, Harold?
Good fight. I mean, that's a darn good fight. That's a real hard pick. That really is. I mean, you know, I like Dawson and I like Ward. I mean, it's a good fight. It's a good fight. But I'm gonna go with Dawson.
I like Dawson. Now, what about this Danny Garcia and Eric Morales fight that's going to be the headliner at the opening of the Barclays Center? Who are you liking that one?
Who you say?
Danny Garcia and Eric Morales.
Who are they?
Okay.
Harold has not heard of them. So, I mean, it's a tough question because they're invisible. They don't know them. They're unknowns.
And what about the big one, Sergio Martinez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.?
I like Martinez in that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how that
fight is getting a lot of attention. I mean, it's getting a lot of attention from a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, especially the boxing people. But that fight is getting a lot of attention. I take my hat off to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., you know, to want to get that fight and fight that fight, you know, where his father didn't want it and they didn't want it, but he wanted the fight. So I got to take my hat off to that young man. I mean, he said he wanted to get out of his father's shadow. And he wanted to show the world that he's the best fighter, and so he should be fighting the best. And he took that fight on his own. So I'm gonna take my hat off to that young man. He's
talking
that
a lot of
smack.
Too.
He wins that fight. He
would have
gone a long way to getting out of his father's shadow if he wins that fight and wins that fight impressively.
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. like Hector Camacho Jr. will never be as good as their father.
No, we know that. But my point is he wants to show some kind of road that he can take for himself as a fighter. Now,
his own
name. If he does win this fight, not getting, he can't get this fight by a gift. He's got to win it by knocking the guy out or win a real decision over the guy.
Decision.
Okay,
yeah.
He can't. If his fight is close and they give it to him, it's not going to work. He's got to win this one convincingly, all the way by a knockout or just, you know, beat the guy up. And if he does that, everybody's going to take the hat off to him. And Mexico is definitely saying they got another Chavez, and that's what it's going to be.
And Harold, here's one of those fights that never happened. Sugar Ray Leonard against two sweet Doc Stanley. Who wins that one, Harold?
that really is a tough one because I don't know what round Doc Stanley going to go in. So I don't know if it's going to be 2 minutes of the first round or 1 minute of the first round. I don't know which one.
Right. Hey, Harold, like my man said, I thought you was my friend.
I am, but I'm being honest about it. You want me to be honest. You don't want me to call out. I'm not that kind of guy. This is boxing. You want me to be
honest about boxing. You know I would take him into the deep waters, Harold.
But one thing about it, I know you had the opportunity. You're getting the opportunity of a lifetime, and that's all that counts.
That's that. Yeah, Doc Stanley's going to go doing the referee's instructions.
I'll tell you this, I'll try to talk you out of it. I'll tell you that.
Hey, Al, before you go, all I know is this, okay? Vito and the Fernando had an O, and you made it go, okay? So we don't want to hear about Al Weston Jr., all right?
Yeah, Harold, I'm hurt, baby. I got to give it to you. Only dude come on the weekend, win a fight, and go on back and fight for your country, baby. I like your style, Harold.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was all about that. You know, just tell me what date it was, where it's going to be at. Don't even give me the name. I'll be there. Don't even worry about it.
Hey, you know, Doc, before Harold goes, that's why he has no sympathy for these guys coming in overweight. He is serving his country, comes home, beats the hell out of Vito and Affirmo, and goes back and serves.
Harold had went from a butterball back down to Harold Weston Jr.
Yeah, I did. I mean, and it was on weight for the fight. That was what shocked everybody. And that was a way in the day of the fight.
Yeah, well, those days are gone. Just like the guys that could fight like Harold Weston is gone. You and Dusty.
Well, like I said, what they're gonna have to do is take everything that all these little new rules that they got. You know, you gotta go back. They should go back to the rounds and get away from the numbers of a round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things they weighing in days before.
When did that ten point muscle system come in, Harold? In your day, it was always strictly round.
That started in California, and
really?
New York would not accept it. Okay. Then the WBC came in around, and then they started saying that they need to do that, and then the new commissioners started coming in, and so everybody started going with this number thing. But really, they have destroyed the game with being these numbers of the round, which is really destroying the game in essence. And I have proven the point how it is. I mean, one guy can win one round and it went around 10-7, and the other guy can win the next three rounds, beat the guy, but he calls it a draw.
He's still behind.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense. I can win one round, knock you down two times, get a 10-7 round. Don't have to worry about no more, and you can beat the dog at me for the next three round, four round fight, and I can get a decision, or they call it a draw. But I can't lose.
Hey Howard, as a tribute to you, let me say this. Seriously speaking, hey Howard, I would have paid a couple of weeks of my hard earned salary if I could have saw you and Sugar.
Oh, I would have too. I mean, I really wanted to fight Ray. I really wanted to fight. There was two people I really wanted to fight. I wanted to fight Jose Napoli, which has almost happened, and I really wanted to fight Napoli because I thought Napoli was just so smooth and so crisp, and I wanted to put my skills with him. But Ray, I knew I could beat Ray. I ain't even worried about that. So Ray wasn't like he wasn't in the top. You know, he wasn't up there where I was worried about Ray. I didn't have no concern about Ray. I knew Ray was. He was molding, and they did a good job molding him. And Ray became, you know, a good fighter. I mean, I ain't gonna take nothing away from him, but I knew I could beat his butt. Simple as that.
Who was better, Harold, Ray or Tommy?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, it was Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy had better boxing skills than Ray. I mean, he showed the boxing.
Yeah.
Tommy was winning the fight until Ray stopped it. Tommy was outboxing Ray the whole time. Believe me. Tommy, that's how come Ray never wanted to fight in the same, you know, with Tommy or with my man
Pryor.
He never wanted to fight those guys.
Well, they also said, how that he didn't want to fight Duran again, or the first time.
No, he didn't want to fight Duran again, but he thought with Duran looking so bad in the first fight, he had no choice.
Exactly.
That he had to take the fight. He had no choice at the time. He had to take Duran. He had to take. And that's another person I wanted to fight, too, Duran. But they knew Don and them and all them people, they knew I could beat Duran. I really wanted to fight Duran. I really wanted to see what that was all about.
Oh, Howard, I really would have paid to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Harold. I would have paid to see Doc on the sideline watching you fight that one.
I really want to. But they both ran people. That's what, and I'm not saying it's Duran. I'm just saying that people just knew my style was not good for Duran.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to take no chances. Because Duran was trying to make moves and everything, which they were right. I mean, you know, because I was spoiling people. And they didn't need that. They didn't need that.
How good was Esteban de Jesus, that how?
It was pretty good. I boxed him a couple of times in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I spanked him in the gym, and then they wouldn't let me box him no more. But he was pretty good. He was a real good counterpuncher.
Now, for the fans, explain counterpuncher for us.
Well, what he do? He would pretty much, if he slips, he'll counter you, or if he blocks the puncher, he'll come right off your punch and hit you. So I mean, that's how come he beat Duran and dropped Duran all the time. Because of the fact that he was right there, he didn't move, and when Duran threw one of them looping punches, he caught the punch and then counter right off and nailed Duran. That's how come he dropped him all the time and everything. He would always beat Duran, but when he fell on them drugs and everything, that was his downfall.
Benitez, who's better between Ray and Duran?
What, with Benitez?
No, who's better between Ray and Duran?
Oh, Ray and Duran? Duran is better because Duran is always going to put pressure on Ray. What Ray had in his favor, he had the audience. He had the newspaper people. He had, you know, I mean, he was a gold medalist
gold
and everything. Everybody was, the protection was there for him. And so basically that was in his favor, and he knew it. So whatever he did, if he went around the ring and he didn't get hit and he didn't hit you, they gave it around to Ray.
Hey, Harold, I'm the only person in the country that thinks this, and Doc gets on my case all the time. I'm going to catch some heat for this, Harold, but to this day, I thought Ray won that first fight.
No, he didn't win that first fight.
And the thing about that first fight, had Duran been in shape, Duran would have took him out in the second round. Benitez,
I'm gonna tell you why. When Ray got hit and got nailed in that first fight and got hurt, the fight was over with. Ray was not going to get hit with that shot no more. So that stopped Ray from even throwing punches. So Ray did not win that first fight. That was the whole thing about him.
What about Ray Benitez? Harold, before you go, Ray, who's better between Ray and Benitez?
I mean, Ray beat Benitez and everything, but Benitez is what I'm saying, I'm going to say to you, is that Benitez wasn't Benitez when he fought Ray, okay?
Exactly.
He was having family problems. He was just having so many problems, just being a champion, but you know, when you got to take care of your family, and at the time when I knew that deal was coming because I was part of that deal, well, you know, making $1 million at that time for us as a welterweight, that was a lot of money for the welterweight division.
Yeah.
So when Ray and them brought that into the mix and everything, that was the whole key point of, the fight being not getting off. And Benitez was not in that frame of mind, like I said, to be ready for Ray Leonard and everything, because he didn't do no fighting in that fight. I mean,
that still was a close fight. Now you said you were
his father robbed him blind, man.
Right, and that's what was bothering. Remember, before the fight, we that was the whole thing. Remember, his father owed money to the gangsters in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, he robbed him blind. He had fast women and slow horses.
Right. Yeah.
He took all the
now, how you said you were part of that mix, the triangle, Ray Benitez. And
because when I fought Benitez for the title, when we fought for the title. And everything. I had a contract. The winner of our fight was going to fight Ray Leonard. And I mean, even Aram told me. He said the only way you're going to win this fight, you beat them to death. He said because you know they want to do it. He said I hope you win. That's what Aram said. I know he didn't want me to, but he said I hope you win. But the fact is I knew I had to beat them. I beat them, but. But you know, the fight was just too close to you know for them to give it to me. So,
oh yeah, well I mean,
I knew what the deal. I'm fighting him in Puerto Rico. You know, there's $1 million on the table that he's gonna $1.2 million really. It was $1.2 million on the table at that time. So you know, but I took the shot to do it and everything, and you know I did my thing. God bless me, and I'm cool with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Harold Weston Jr., the only African matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, the only MSG welterweight champ. Our undisputed champion, along with Dusty Lewis. Gang, say goodnight to Harold.
All right, Beth.
Night,
yeah, take care, Beth.
Good night, Harold.
All right, everybody
take
say something. Say good night, lady.
Good night, baby.
All day, all night, all the time.
Bye-bye.
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Those of you that would the last few seconds, I want to apologize. This is not the dating game. Harold Weston and Lady A.
Doc, did we finish this thing about the Giants? Because there's still a lot of, you know,
that's why we got the last 45 minutes for you, Dusty. Give us your synopsis on the Giants.
The last 45. As Hamlet doing his soliloquy.
did you say ham and eggs or Hamlet? What did you say? Gang, okay, yeah, Dusty, we get to you, Giants. Everybody's been talking JETS Jets. The guy you love, Cruz,
yeah.
And I got a chance to talk to him the other day. He starts asking, you know, what's the one word that describes you this year as opposed to last year? He said confidence. He said, I have the confidence.
Confidence.
I said, then also said now, you know, the new guys, do they come to you? He said, well, yeah, you know, if they come to me, I'm there for them. And sometimes I step to them because I know what the transition is like. Everybody's talking about the Jets. Everybody's talking about Tebow. Dusty, for the next few minutes, your thoughts, and tell us what you think about the Giants. Can they win it again, and
well,
how many games will they win?
Okay. I have to go back to other teams who won it back-to-back. New England Patriots, okay, 49ers, Broncos. These teams set the pace that it is possible to do it. As well as the Buffalo Bills shows that it's possible to get to the Big Soup four straight times and still get beat. And one of them was by the Giants. I see the Giants as a super confident team, despite the fact that they let go two or three key players who led them to the Soup. You know, either they replaced them or they had the guys that stepped up, you know, to take the spots of these guys who are left are just as good or are going to be just as good during the season. Preseason is no criteria to tell a fan or to tell anybody, wow, these guys won four straight preseason games, they're going to win the Soup. Bull crap. Oh, these guys lost four straight spring training games. They're not going to win. They're not going to win more than two or three games. When the season begins, you'll get a taste of what is going to happen during the rest of the season. Now, like I said to you guys very honestly, the dark horse to me, not that they win, but the dark horse to me is the 49ers. The 49ers who gave the Giants a run for their money with the little bit of material they had. Now they were slick enough to say, hey, Giants, you don't want to pay these guys? We need them. And then, Doc, they added your favorite friend, Randy Moss. So what do we got? We got a formidable team, dark horse team in the shadows who operated very covertly to rebuild the team, even though, yes, the quarterback is suspect, okay? But getting back to the subject matter that we're talking about, the Giants look formidable. The Giants look like they can put their stuff together. The Giants look like they, hey, so we lost two or three guys. We're going to fill up those holes and play like we've always played. Eli Manning is country boy, but he's a devious, deep-thinking professional that knows what the heck he has to do in that game. Having said that, I think the Giants, right off the top of my head, let's put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if they go back and win it again. Now, but I can almost assure you that they will be in the playoffs. Will I be shocked if they're knocked out of the playoffs? I will be, yes, because of the fact that the first time they won the Soup against the Patriots, they were the wild card team, and that was the first time in history a wild card team came out of the basement to win the Soup and beat the formidable 19-0 Patriots. They got the mojo working and beat them handedly with Randy Moss. They came back here again. They were so awesome in their road games, beating the teams on the road, that I think that's what broke the Patriots' confidence, knowing that they had to face the animal who slapped the crap out of them and embarrassed them 2 years before that. So do the Giants have a chance to come back? I would say so. I would say yes. They do have a chance to come back.
And you know I think to this day, that loss when they were going for the undefeated season and football immortality, I think to this day that's the loss that sticks in Belichick's crawl and hurts him the most out of any football game that he's ever lost in the pros.
Yeah, it did, because of the fact that if you see, they played the Giants in the last game of the season, okay? They barely beat the Giants by 3 points. And if they had not scored that field goal, guess what? They would have beaten the Giants by 1 point.
And you know, I think that game put them in. It sent them to football immortality. Really, that game that they beat the Patriots in for the Super Bowl, because I don't think anybody went in there thinking that they were going to be able to win the way they won.
Oh well, no, but you see, that's the same thing with boxing, man. The same thing with boxing. You get Joe Canvas back here, who's a journeyman who has won 25 fights, but he's lost 50.
Right.
And he trains to fight Golden Boy.
Right.
And what happens? Joe Canvas back goes out, gives him a boxing lesson, and and knocks him out in the 10th round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back in history. Some of you were not even born. Jimmy Carter and Ike Williams. Ike Williams, lightweight champ of the world, he ruled the lightweights, 135 pounds. They couldn't win. Jimmy Carter, a perennial for a professional sparring partner, was given a shot at Ike Williams' title. He made the best of it. Guess what? He destroyed Ike Williams. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. That you
we start on football, and right away, I know if I don't send you right back in the box.
No, he's using an analogy.
I give you an example of how here the guy was a mediocre sparring partner and became lightweight champ of the world.
Right.
Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard of Jimmy Carter? No?
Yeah, are you talking about the president?
No, the
peanut farmer?
No.
Hey, no one he made some bad decisions. He was a little punch drunk, huh? Hey, and that's, remind me, remember Paulie Malignaggi made a couple comments? Hey, forgive me, he said, you know what, I get hit a lot.
Yeah, I know. But the fact is that I believe the Giants, in the formidable way that they are and they play, can come back or make a statement.
Dusty, you bring up a point.
So,
here.
Dusty, what do you think? Ten games?
Well,
10 games?
Oh, games?
Well, no, I'm not going to predict win or lose. I'm just going to say that they will be formidable.
Well, there's only one team that can repeat again, and that's the Giants. You know, they had a hell of a year last year. They had a tough schedule.
Yeah.
But what happened with them is the same thing happened with them when they won the Super Bowl the last time. They got healthy at the right time.
Yep.
And the big game was beating those tough.
And Doc,
Jets.
Let's not forget too. I think the key thing for them that helped is defense. You know what?
Yeah,
their defense
stepped
it up, and that's what really helped them win.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Yeah.
They came back healthy, and they made a profound impact.
And this year, I don't know who makes up the schedules. They have a tough schedule. They have a tough schedule.
Maybe the toughest in the NFL.
I think they had a tougher schedule last year, though. I think the Giants had a tougher schedule last year than what they had this year.
Doc, let me make this point, Doc. And I'd be remiss if I didn't, okay? The year that the Patriots were going for the undefeated season and football immortality, okay? I think that that year was the biggest example in sports history. Now, I'm going big on this, but I think that's the biggest example in sports history of a team winning by losing. And by that, I mean, when they played the Patriots, basically straight up to a standstill, like Dusty said, losing by like 3 points or so, it gave the confidence to the Giants that, hey, we can play with these guys. You know, it's not going to be some, you know, some. We can play with them, okay? There's
well,
no
embarrassment.
We were embarrassed out
here.
They felt
that because they felt they it was the Patriots that beat them for the 18-0 record. Randy Moss had missed the pass, and then he ran the same play again. So what really fueled them is what you're saying, and you kind of forgot it. What fueled them was they said, we shouldn't have lost it. We should have beat these guys.
Yeah,
which
well, that's what I'm saying, Doc. That was a perfect example of a team winning by losing. Because, sure, on the board they lost the game, but during the game they had the confidence that, hey, these dudes run. This was no hell of a fight.
On the other hand, Rooney, on the other hand, they played them better in the game that they lost than the game that they won. I mean, say what you want.
Because it was a championship game.
L-U-C-K was, you know, like I'm saying, no way in the world Manning is throwing that pass where he threw it. Guy made a tremendous catch. You know, it wasn't a routine play. Everything was exceptional. He got away from the defense exceptionally. He got the ball off exceptionally. The pass was an exceptional pass. Okay,
yeah,
but how
Doc,
he got the
ball. Yeah, but when you read the papers the next day, Doc, and you look at the stats, all you know is that was a completed pass. That's all it counts for.
Well,
Doc.
But Rooney, but you're
not
telling
that the
me.
Guy caught the ball with
yeah,
two
but Rooney,
fingers,
Rooney,
not
Rooney.
The ball
you're,
caught
you're telling me now, Rooney, that that. You want me to see it through the eyes of Stevie Wonder, Jose Feliciano?
No,
can't
do I'm
that.
Saying it's better to be lucky
you know,
than
we're going by. I mean,
we're,
it's like Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. Everybody talks about, you know, Mantle with these power homes. Maris showed all he had to do was get the ball over the fence. But you know, a line drive to right center field ain't the same thing as an 82 hop single to center field. You got to call a spade by a spade. You know what I mean?
What I'm trying to say is, if I had a 450 foot home run. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else comes up later, and it's a 275-foot home run that just
Dusty
barely
Rhodes.
Speaks over the fence. When we read the papers the next day, both says we hit it out the bar.
Well, yeah, but the point is, those are home runs out of the park. But you're still not going to say, man, he hit a shot. He didn't hit a shot. It went over the fence. Like, you know, I'm thinking about Dusty Rhodes. You know, they said the home runs he hit against Cleveland. In the 54 World Series, you know, hadn't it been the Polo Grounds, them suckers wouldn't have went out. I'm just trying to say, you know, it wasn't as well executed as down the, as the years go on, that will be. You know what I mean? Dog, gang, real quick.
When you said Dusty Rhodes, I started to say, do you mean the baseball player or the wrestler?
Yeah, well, and only you, Rooney, would have had that direction. Thought that went in that direction. Real quickly, I was just looking at something where they're talking about the 2000 rookie class of quarterbacks that started to make history. It was Gary Myers. He said the quarterback class of 83 is considered the greatest in NFL history. Six were taken in the first round, and three of them, John Elway, Dan Marino, and Jim Kelly, are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, it's amazing out of those guys. Elway's the only one to win a Super Bowl. And they all went to the Super Bowl, and Kelly went to the Super Bowl more by himself than Elway and Marino went together. And that, and also, they're all the Hall of Fame. Ken O'Brien had a good year. Remember him, fellas, with the Jets, Ken O'Brien? Tony Easton started.
Ken O'Brien, what a bum.
Well, he's pretty good.
Hey, lady, hey, tell us what you really think.
hey, Rooney, leaving no stone. Oh, gang, hold tight here. We got to do a little something real quick. You know, you gang, you want to do a little mic on, lights off, everybody's ready to go. You want to do a few more minutes? Okay, so what we're going to do, Doc Stanley Sports Up with the Blake Whenever Rainbow Show, Stan Sports in the Show, Doc Stanley Sports. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show, the channel Sports in Depth of the Show. We're in the closing minutes, mic on, lights off, and leave you three thoughts, live your life,
today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for the service of others is rent you pay for your space on earth? And now, the number one African sportscast in the history, New York City Radio, will say goodbye and bring us right back on the one and only, the incomparable, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Larry, the legend, ESPN sideline reporter, Larry Hart. Larry, thank you.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Mic on, lights off. That's another 50 minutes. So we got the crew here. Some more in-depth stuff. Learned something today, that the 10-point must system was one that came from California. Quick prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Name your darling son, Jesus. Amen. And so we learned through Harold Weston Jr. once again. A little stuff about boxing. Talking about the sweet science. We're going to slide away, get back to the football. So the season opens, the world champion, Super Bowl Giants, open up against the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. That is a Wednesday game here, right here in MetLife Stadium. That will be September the 5th. And then 4 days later, the Jets, the Gvo Jets. The consensus is, you know, a lot of people are saying that by the seventh, maybe sixth game. I think your good buddy Stephen A, Lady A, is one of the forerunners of this. But he's saying when we get to about the sixth game of the season, Tim Tebow is going to be the starting quarterback for the
Stephen
Jets.
A's
Lady
hilarious.
A.
He's hilarious, Stephen A. He said, it's a setup. It's a setup. Come on, it's a setup. It's a setup. This is a setup for Mark Sanchez to be the second stringer and Tebow to be the number one guy. I was dying. Oh, my God. He's hysterical, Stephen A. He's hysterical. He said on ESPN, he's hysterical. Oh, my God.
Stephen, I remember, I have his card here right now. Wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And I remember the day before he went to radio, and he was telling me, hey, man, tomorrow, man, I'm going on radio. I said, well, yeah, and congratulations and everything. That's been a while back. Stephen A. Yep, remember, I forgot the card among the cards. So we talked about that class, Elway, Marino, and Kelly, all Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Elway's only member of the class who started the first game of the NFL season in his rookie year. Marino didn't start until the sixth game, and Kelly began his career in the USL before signing with Buffalo '86. And, wow, that's amazing, you know. Wow. Next up was the class of 2004, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers. Manning,
oh, yeah, okay. Roethlisberger's in there, too?
No, they're talking about the next big class was the class of 2004.
Right, yeah. Roethlisberger. Who was it, Roethlisberger, Manning, and who else?
And Phillip Rivers.
Oh, Rivers, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're talking about this new class coming. You know, this is Gary Mize. You know, it's amazing. Tony Ono, Giants open against the Cowboys in 10 days. But Tony Romo, who may have more pressure on him to win this season than any other player in the NFL, has a banged-up group of receivers. Miles Austin, Dex Bryant, and Jason Winter all have been out. Looks like Austin and Bryant have a much better chance to play than written. And then we have, he talked about that it's hard to buy into the Eagles. Vic can't stay off the field, can't stay on the field. In the first preseason game, he hit his thumb on a helmet.
He did something with his ribs, right?
Yeah, well, in the first game, he hit his hand on a helmet.
Right.
And in the second game, he injured his ribs, although nothing was broken. But he needed more x-rays, an MRI, and a CT scan in each game. He was hurt on just the sixth play. At this rate, he will be glowing in the dark by midseason with all the radiation inside of him. They've got to find a way. They have a special flak jacket for him.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they've got to. I mean, but you don't, you know, the
that,
thing
but
with that.
But that also leads me to Dustin Keller.
for the Jets who did something to his hamstring. So is
oh,
he
back?
Hamstring,
yeah, well, yeah, you know, I got to try to get to the camp maybe this week and find out because I saw him coming out of the locker room because I ran into Tom, bro. I wanted to catch it with Brady and trying to get some more stuff. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Death, the show Lights Off, Mic On, and also DocStanleySports.com. That's my site. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, blogspot.com, BR. That is the blog site. And you want to reach us, DocStanleyL.com. JG has just opened up next Sunday. And so next week this time, they'll have a L or a W, or maybe they'll get into the end zone finally in a real game. And we'll know what the Giants have done. So next week this time, we'll know where both our teams stand in their first games. And then we'll be 1 week away from Martinez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And
Doc, any word on that stuff with Martinez, or still the same? We haven't heard anything.
Well,
else?
I haven't heard any more. I got an email from DiBella, so that was the email that told me about the threats and stuff like that. And Michael joined us earlier. I was hoping he was going to stay with us a little longer, but he had to run back into what he was doing. So as of now, everything seems to be put. The big thing, Dusty, was that Martinez Marvella couldn't do any public workouts, which is not the worst thing in the world, Dusty.
Well, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but what really can you do? You know, if you talk about, no, really, what really can you do? Nothing. You know, you have a person. If you read the whole situation correctly, a person who promises to do better and more than the other person. You know, and you know, if this is the way people look at it, well, this is, you got to go with that person. You know, I don't see if you're on that same vein by Lou DiBella. You talk about Lou DiBella, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't see him getting out of the B.B. Kings and the Roselands and the Manhattan Centers. He doesn't have the clout to carry a big show, unless he co-promotes, or unless his fighter is the one that's being used, like the 15th.
Well, you know, I look back at him. He's had champions wise. You know, he had Bernard Hopkins. You know, when Hopkins beat Trinidad, he was with Lou DiBella.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that. You remember that lady?
I sure do.
Yeah.
And Hopkins sued him and embarrassed him.
And then he had to fall it out. He had to fall it out. He went to De La Hoya.
The falling out, and he won the lawsuit. Then he had Jermaine Taylor.
Well, who won the lawsuit?
He's
a bum. Jermaine Taylor was a bum.
Hopkins won the lawsuit against
DiBella,
right?
Jermaine Taylor, the all-around middleweight champ of the world. See, DiBella has had one person, one glow in his whole stable that's given him 10% credibility.
Who that? Jermaine Taylor?
Promoters.
No, right now he's got Sergio Martinez.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, he said, now, Dusty, back up. In the suit, Bernard Hopkins won the suit against DiBella, right?
That's
no,
correct.
DiBella won
it too. No. DiBella won it.
DiBella won, yeah.
Defamation of character and all that nonsense.
But Hopkins sued him, and then Hopkins went to De La Hoya. That's
well,
when De La Hoya, when he went to De La Hoya, Dusty, remember?
Well, yeah, but the
right
thing
after
was
that,
though,
he went to De La Hoya.
Yeah, but see, Hopkins was known for a guy, from what I'm hearing, who would sign with Dusty on Wednesday, sign with you on Friday, and get me next Thursday.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, because I remember...
We got to play games, man.
Yeah, because I remember he asked... somebody I know to manage him, and he said when he came to the guy, he had three different contracts. The guy said, "Well, you got three different contracts here, man." So, but Bella has had some reputable guys: Hopkins, Jermaine Taylor, Marveloso is a great guy, and we look back.
He's had guys. One guy that's the star and five mediocrities. This is what
right.
I'm trying to tell you.
Right, B fighters. You mean like B fighters, right?
Yeah, but how many guys have? But I mean, does everybody do? You got the one big guy, and he carries the rest of the guy. I mean, who can we name? That I mean, you look at our buddy the Arum. You know, Arum, he had De La Hoya at one time. Boom, De La Hoya left.
Mayweather.
Then he had then he had Mayweather Kalani. At one time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't have them all at the same time though. But okay,
yes,
I see what you're saying.
Yes, he did.
What are you talking about?
He had them all at the same time.
Yes.
He had them all at the same time.
Yeah, he had.
He had them all at the same time.
He had
yes,
De La Hoya and Mayweather at the same time?
Mayweather and Cotto all at the same time. He was one of the slick dudes who either went himself or sent a scout to sign these dudes.
You know
right
who he sent. He sent your man Lee Sam. Cut it out. You know who he sent, Dusty. Cut it out. You know who he sent.
He said. But, you know, and he's a guy that has scouts going all over signing these guys, like a baseball scout. And
well, the thing about Arum, which I always heard, Arum was big on Latin fighters, but not big on black fighters. He had a horde of Latin fighters. Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know his history with black and Hispanics, but I do know that he's had quite a few stables. Man.
Well, I just told you his history on black and Hispanic fighters. Told you. That was his history. He wasn't big on African-American fighters. Mayweather was, you know, sort of an exception. And a lot of that had to do because of economics. It's like baseball today. I can get me four guys from the Dominican Republic for what I pay half for one African-American baseball player. So, that was the story with that. But, I want to ask a question here. Do you think, ladies first, in wake of all the rattle and roll that's going on, because there was speculation that maybe it would be Mayweather and Cotto, and it seems like we're not going to have Bradley and Pacquiao. Lady A, you think this will be the year that we'll have Mayweather and Pacquiao, or do you care anymore?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of your statement. Did I what?
Do you care anymore?
Honestly?
Mm-hmm.
As a boxing fan, I would have to say yes. I would like to see the fight, but
okay.
Do I think it's going to go through this year? I'm going to venture to say no.
Why? It's run its course.
Because I still think that as Arum is a very, based on what I've seen with Arum, once you cross him, he's not apt to try to make things work for you.
He'll say one thing, but he's really going
to
do another.
No, I don't think he's apt to make things work for you once you cross him. Because look at what happened. Look at De La Hoya's past with him. Look at Mayweather's past with him.
Once he feels
and now look at Cotto with him. You think that? I mean, I just based on his past, you know, I would have to say that I really don't think it's going to happen. You know.
Dusty, you think
but
it's going to happen?
That's just my own opinion.
Well, I know Dusty will see it. If we say two roaches fight, he'll see it. Do you think it's going to happen or what, Dusty?
It's going to happen 2013.
Hmm.
That's what the machinations are, because of the fact that the rumblings are that Floyd may fight, and this is rumors. I mean, you got to go by rumors. You're not inside the Oval Office or in the bedroom with these dudes who go to bed together, and then they fight like husband and wife on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They are mechanizing a possibility, because Bradley said, I want to fight Mayweather. And he said that after he came out of the correction thing.
Right.
Mayweather has enough time to put himself together. I can fight him in November. It hasn't happened. But the websites, the commentaries, the Dan Raphaels and all those suckers are talking about, they're setting up in motion to finally fight in 2013 to get it out of the way, and that will be the swan song for both, because Mayweather wants to get out, and Pacquiao is already tired. But the question mark is, what's going to happen in 2012? Pacquiao is supposed to have fought in November, bingo, he's going to fight in December. Boom. Mayweather was supposed to, supposedly rumors that he was going to challenge, or Bradley challenge him in over-the-weight, the one of them over-the-weight matches at welterweight. Nothing's come out of it. But there is machinations, and these things are being put in place now because they want to finally get it over with. In 2013, and guess what? The price is going to going to go down to the same it was in the freaking very beginning. 43 each plus pay-per-view.
43 million each?
Well, I mean, you know what? The point is this. We both got a point. The boxing fan will still buy this fight.
Of course.
And you know what may happen? As you just talk, a thought hit me. We've got another few minutes. They may be their swine song, but they may have such an outstanding first fight that they may have they may wind up doing a trilogy. They may just wind up fighting each other for their last three fights.
Well, I doubt that because I remember, Doc, when we went to see Tim Bradley and Pacquiao, what's the first thing I told you?
I don't know.
Man,
you know what, too, Dusty? I don't know if you can see.
Pacquiao looked beat.
He's here, and
he doesn't want to be here.
Hold on, guys, one second.
Go ahead. You
really think, listen to this, and I'm going to throw this at you, Dusty. When you take a fight like Israel Vasquez, Rafael Marquez, and they almost did the four fights, right? You think you're really going to get the kind of fight you got from those guys and these guys? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to get it.
Well, no. What do you mean? Well, you're not going to from Pacquiao, you mean?
Yeah,
you're
from the both of them together.
Pacquiao,
I don't think so. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think Mayweather's better, but I mean they're equally matched. And the point is, I just think that they could possibly
bring out the
best out of each other.
I don't think you're
going
to get the kind
of
match. Listen to me. At this juncture, Dusty, you know what I'm talking about because you know to this day, people still talk about those fights. Vasquez and Marquez, they still. I don't think you're going to get the kind of fight like that out of these guys. I don't think you're going to get it.
I'm not talking about the quality of the fight. I'm just talking about that people will pay to see Manny Pacquiao.
People
will pay to see these fights because there's still an unknown factor as to how the fighters are going to fight. In other words, let me give you an eye-opener here. I have felt, personally, from watching Pacquiao, that he was finished. And mind you what I'm saying, he was finished the day that he supposedly destroyed Antonio Margarito. He took a beating.
Now, you know what? I remember you said that, and you were one of the few people.
I knew he was going to say that. I love this guy.
Dusty said that, and what Dusty talked about was as bad as they talked about how bad he beat Margarito, nobody talked about the punishment that he took from Margarito.
That's correct.
He may have won the war, but he could have fallen into the purposes, lost the battle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And let's not forget, Margarito was a lot bigger in that fight.
Seventeen pounds heavier. And since then, what did he do? He ran out of opponents, and they figured, well, let's give Marquez another shot.
Tough.
And what happened, Marquez?
He beat him. Marquez beat him.
And Pacquiao was gone. Pacquiao showed you he was finished. And that's why I told you the day of the Bradley Pacquiao thing. I said, you know, Doc, he looks old. He looks whipped. He looks beat. He looks like he doesn't belong here. And you saw it in the fight. You saw it in the fight because the many times he slapped Tim Bradley, ready to knock him out, he couldn't finish him. Bradley scooted out of the way. He couldn't finish him. Bradley out-jabbed him a couple of rounds. Pacquiao didn't know what to do. You want to see the evidence that Pacquiao is frustrated when he stands in front of you and slaps his gloves together because he can't get you.
That's right.
He gets angry.
That's what he always does.
He cannot get you. And Bradley
pounds his gloves together.
He used to do that a lot when he was coming up. Right.
When he was coming up, he used to do that a lot.
Yeah. He threw punches at Bradley that he would have connected 20 times over. He missed them.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing with Marquez. Threw punches at Marquez that he would have connected 20 times over. He missed them. Pacquiao is not the same anymore since the Margarito fight. Thanks to Bob Arum, he destroyed Pacquiao. Pacquiao just happens to be a strong kid that people remember how tough he is, but they don't know, they don't realize how beat up he is. And he's fulfilling his contract. I'm very sure that when the 10 years or whatever the hell it is that he owes Bob Arum, he's going. That's why he wants this fight with Mayweather. He knows in his heart he cannot beat Mayweather, even though he can talk a lot of trash. And I feel strongly that Mayweather will walk all over him. But he needs that money to say, okay, I did my best, I'm going home. I thought it was a travesty of justice to steal that decision from Pacquiao, okay? To steal that decision from Pacquiao. But what can you do? He says, it seems to me that my best against Bradley was not good enough, so I have to accept defeat. You could know that his guts were churning and exploding when they did that to him. But what could he do? Bob Arum with a thunderbust, oh, man, I'm going to call the federal government to have this reversed. What did he do? Nothing, except I got me another champ, Tim Bradley, to replace Miguel Cotto. And I still got Pacquiao. Hey, that's the way his promotional mind works. He don't care. He still got the bodies. But why they didn't fulfill the return by clause contract with Tim Bradley, I don't have the slightest idea. Machinations are going around. Pacquiao is going to fight in December, but nobody knows who he's going to fight. And they're talking about one more time with Marquez. For what? Marquez is liable to knock him out. And that'll be sad. But that's the way things are. I people don't realize where all they saw was the blood and guts on Margarito's face, the fractured cheekbone, he's half blind, the battering, this and the other. But man, Pacquiao took a freaking beating from a man who was 17 pounds heavier than him. That's why Freddie Roach told him, keep boxing, don't mix. In the last three or four rounds, just box, don't mix with him. Move around. Why? Because he knew Pacquiao was busted. Yeah. And the proof of the pudding, he went to the hospital. He thought his ribs were crushed. His face was all cut up. His hands, he couldn't even sign autographs. And that's the beginning of the destruction of a fighter, by fighting. And then, mind you, you were fighting every 3 or 4 months. Man.
Yeah.
People don't understand
that
kind of beating.
That reminds me of the fight with Jose Luis Castillo and Diego Corrales after the fight, how bad he looked after that fight?
Yeah.
And he was urinating blood for almost a week.
Yeah, that's what happens. But, I mean, Pacquiao, I mean, every 4 months a man was fighting, and then fighting animals, man.
The point that you don't bring up here is that we're talking about the fight is on in March. Well, he's been training January and February. So now he fights into March. It's April. He signs again in May. He's trained in May and June to fight in July. All right.
Yeah.
He takes up August, and now he's training again in September, October for November. It wears and tears. It wears and tears on him.
It wears and tears, and Pacquiao was having problems with his legs. His calves, and you know something?
Cramping, cramping. A lot of cramping.
Yeah. This is a chink in Julio Cesar Chavez's armor. His legs have gone the same way as Pacquiao. He has cramps in his legs, and he's had to call doctors and try to find out why his legs are cramping. Man, does that give Martinez an edge? You better believe it. You know, his legs are bad. His legs were bad with Andy Lee. And Freddie Roach had to massage his freaking legs so he can get up and fight him.
Is that a weight situation, Dusty, or that's just a problem that he has?
I don't know whether it's a weight situation or he's susceptible to injuries or cramps. I don't know. I really don't know what he's done in his routine of training to hurt himself that way. Pacquiao, of course, he played basketball. He ran track. He did this. He did half a million other things. And his legs were shot. But
now, I was just thinking maybe 180 pounds is too big for him, for Chavez? Could that be a possibility?
Well, he's down to his weight now. He's only about 62, 63 pounds, which goes back to what I'm telling you with these trainers, that they monitor the weight of their fighters. And every day you weigh in and check the calories and check the poundage. I mean, we did that in the amateurs, man. I had a fight for a 47-pound title. Man, I came into the gym 52, 53, and said, okay, You got 5 pounds you got to get rid of. Workout, put on the sweat. So, drink less water. Fast, no bread, no butter. You monitor what you're eating. When I weighed in to fight Bobby Woodside, I weighed 46 and a half. I had a half a pound to spare. And plus, in Golden Gloves, they allow you 1 pound over, 148. So I was
that,
way
now,
below
was,
that.
Was that the fight that you fought Kane, or was it Lil David?
I fought them both.
Same night.
And what I did was I walked in with some chicken broth that, God bless my mother, she prepared for me. Because
stop lying. You know she made you the asopal. She made you the asopal.
Yeah.
Stop lying.
Asopal was right. Yeah, asopal was delicious. And you dry out. You dry out, you weigh in, and then, ooh, glug, 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 glug. I drank my chicken soup. I felt like man Mountain Dew. But this is how you do it. So Chavez coming in 180 pounds and all that, well, that's just stupidity because he has to push that weight, you know, to be 160 pounder. But he said the other day he's within two or 3 pounds of 160. So,
okay,
you know,
gang.
And then
here's the situation.
He got 13 more days to go.
Yeah. Now, we're gonna close it in a minute. Giants against the Cowboys. Who's your pick for that game, Lady A? Who wins it? Giants.
Giants.
Dusty.
You know, I like Tony Romo. I like to believe that he's redeemed himself in under pressure games. He has. Now he had Jerry Jones had brought in some good players to support him, you know. Here he got this Dev Bryant man who he has a bodyguard and keep him on curfew, but he's a damn good ball player. So the thing is that he has good receivers and good defense. So I'm gonna lean on the Cowboys this time.
Dusty, I'm calling Tim Smith right now. The other way. I should have known it. Why did I ask you, Dusty?
You gotta call Tim Smith
right now. We gotta close the show, and I gotta call it right now. Why did I ask you?
Why did I ask?
I knew the answer.
You gonna give Tim Smith a stroke? Leave alone.
No, I won't. Cause it'll be the norm. Ain't no stroke. Normal thing. You know what I mean? Oh,
okay.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the break. The Rainbow Code Sports Network the show.
You didn't ask Mel Smith.
No, Rooney left us. Rooney had to go into the studio.
Oh, okay.
Rooney had to go into the studio. All right, Dusty, tell everybody good night for us.
God bless everybody. Buenas noches. This has been delightful, entertaining, insulting, and re-energizing. So good night, buenas noches, and we see each other again. And Thursday we can discuss.
We'll be back Thursday. We'll talk the game. And what I'm doing, I'm just leaving on a high note. I'm not even going to ask Lady A about the Jets. What they're going to do next Sunday? I'm not even going to go there.
Please,
she's on vacation. I'm going to leave her alone. I'm not even going to go there. You know. And Dusty, I know you got the bill.
Yeah.
I know you got the bill.
Oh God in heaven.
On the plate with the Rainbow Soul Sports Show. Free thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the rent you pay for your space on earth. Me and the gang say, we love you. God bless you. Trust in God. And we'll see you next week. John Coltrane, Larry Hardesty, first.
Buenas noches. Good night.
Buenas noches.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth, and the show live from our New York studio. The gang tonight, Pat Bro, Weston, Jr., Destinio, Dusty, Baby Lois, Jr., Mel, Cosell, Smith, Jr., and the First Lady of Blake Radio Sports, Lady A, and Steve from his sports show joining us tonight. The Hoopsa was out on assignment as well as Sea Wings, and they will be back. We'll be back on the air live from Yeah, I think we may give you a 1 o'clock live show next week from MetLife Field, depending if we could be able to get Mr. George Forster to join us. If we get George Forster, we'll bring you a very 9 o'clock show. But stay tuned, and we'll put up on the Thursday a post Giants game as they play the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday. Giants open the season this Wednesday against the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Field, and the Jets will come back on Sunday and open their season against the Buffalo Bills. Once again, Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, the channel, Sports and Depth for the show. DocStanleySports.com is my site for looking at the Trust in God, Sports and Depth Entertainment Hall of Fame Museum, Doc Stanley's Sports and Depth blog, spot.com/BR, that's my blog. And also look at Brazilla on that same blog. And you need to get me at DocStanleyAOL.com. Skype, DocStanley1. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. God bless you all. Thanks for being with us. And trust in God. Hey, enjoy Labor Day. Doc Stanley and the crew and the posse. Trust in God. Thank you.